We are good. I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the City of Grover Beach City Council on Monday, March 21st, 2016. Would you all please stand with us in a moment of silence for the brave men and women in the armed services that fight every day for our freedoms and liberties? Thank you. Please remain standing as we do our flag salute. And I understand we have a young man who's been here before that's going to lead us in the pledge tonight. Jake Anderson, he's 10 years old and a fifth grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. Jake likes living along the Central Coast because he enjoys going to the beach and boogie boarding. His interests are riding bikes, skateboarding, swimming, boogie boarding, and listening to music. Mine too. Jake is accompanied this evening. Is your principal and mom here, Jake? Who's here?
Yeah, my
mom's here. Wow, look at that. It's a family affair.
Yeah.
Jake, thanks again for coming. And you ready?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jake, I have something for you. And I like that tie.
How are you? You seem like a barber.
All right. We have, would you turn and let maybe take a photo? Okay. So that's for you. Thank you. And then here are some school supplies. So I want you to shake everyone else's hands, okay?
Very nice to see you, Jay. And you did a good
Thank
job.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming back. You did a great job.
Yeah,
great
well,
job.
Good
job.
Thanks again, Jake, and mom and dad and family. We appreciate it. Donna, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you, Donna. Let's see, we do not have any closed session announcements tonight. We're going to move into our agenda review with the council. Review the order of the agenda as presented by staff. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? If not, I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. So the agenda will remain as presented by staff. I believe there are extra copies on the table behind us. We have no items on our ceremonial calendar tonight, which brings us to item number one, which is a presentation on a proposed National Marine Sanctuary on the West Coast. Mr. Dave Kirk with the Port St. Louis Harbor Commission.
Well, thank you, Council, for inviting me tonight. And I left you all a handout. Looks like this. And I don't know how familiar you are with the National Marine Sanctuary, the Chumash National Marine Sanctuary, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about it. And the fishing industry, which I'm a part of, is definitely impacted. I've been attending state and federal meetings for the past 4 or 5 years, and we've particularly been in battle with the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, and that's a more progressive, environmentalist, controlled sanctuary. And they're really involved in fishing regulations, which is against their charter. They will tell you out of one side of their mouth they're not, but in reality they are. And I've seen them go before the council at the Pacific Fisheries Management Council with orchestrated plans to close an additional 255 square miles off. Well, it reaches from their sanctuary down into Cambrian, which is still in their sanctuary. And we already have been closed almost completely down. As if, and I've got Butch Powers. He's the president of our Fishermen's Association, and he can speak to you a little bit more if you have time on more of the fishing issues. But I'm also in the ag business. I started in the ag business about 1970, and I'm currently doing a little bit of farming, organic farming, windmill farms. I don't know if any are aware of that. But the sanctuary in Monterey Bay is enacting a MOU with the ag department there, which basically is going to control all of the runoff into all the tributaries going into the sanctuary. And it will put the federal government at the top of, if you, I don't have a copy of that here, but that information I believe is on our website, which is here, would put NOAA and then the U.S. EPA above California EPA, California Region, Water Control Board, and Regional Water Control Board. So adding the sanctuary in our area would mean a layer of government, and I believe a very oppressive layer of government, and I could tell you a little bit more. But there's a lot of people, elected officials already have come out in opposition. We have like three supervisors. And in our county and in San Luis Obispo, or Santa Barbara County, we have two of the northern supervisors that have written letters in opposition to NOAA. We have two harbors that have written letters and MOUs in opposition, as well as the city of Mora Bay. So I'm here tonight to hopefully encourage you to consider what I have to say and consider what's before you and look into it and hopefully come up with a resolution in opposition. I believe it would add a lot of additional staff time to you and be burdensome for you to deal with the federal regulatory processes involved. And if you would like to speak to any of your peers, Steve Scheiblauer from the Monterey Bay Harbor, he's a city employee. He could answer a lot of questions of exactly what kind of issues you'd be involved with. And he's in opposition to the sanctuary. And I met with Shelley Higginbotham the other day and let her know I was going to be here, and she welcomed me to come to her city council and talk to them. And she also has written a letter in opposition and sent it to NOAA. One thing that's going on with the sanctuary is that they have their own police, federal police, and they have volunteers that go around and take photos. They have a marine biologist currently that just was sentenced to, she just paid a $2,500 fine, but she was looking at a prison sentence to a federal magistrate for being too close to a sea otter. And it's hard for me to go from my commercial boat to without getting within 2 feet of a sea otter. And it's just seems to me like their approach is just too heavy-handed, and the environmental community is stretching out a little too far. So if you have any questions.
Yeah, any questions of Mr. Kurt?
I'm here.
None? Okay. And Dave, did Butch, was Butch going to join your presentation?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Butch Powers. I just want to say a few things because I've been at lots of meetings these days. And the Marine Sanctuary, what it had done 20 years ago, everybody sits down and writes all the rules in the Marine Sanctuary, but the federal government determines the rules in that sanctuary. They they interpret the language different, and so they end up changing what everybody had to say in them. And so the fishermen have had some real issues. As far as our area goes, we don't know what issues we're going to have yet. We don't know anything until it becomes that marine sanctuary. They're not, the marine sanctuary, the NOAA's not, they're not saying anything about what regulations are going to be in that area until it gets here. So we don't know anything. The few things we do know is, like, there's the noise pollution in a marine sanctuary. You know, they ban jet skis up there in Monterey in certain areas. And it's the same thing here. What we fear the most, it's just not a fishing issue. It's a beach issue. And we don't know what they're going to do to the noise all the buggies on the beach and that kind of stuff, all the noise they caused, you know. And I've talked to couple of people in the bird wildlife, you know, and it's like the snowy clover. If he moves and has babies, I think one mile north or something, they could just take that it, once it's in a marine sanctuary and say, well, they need more room, so there goes more beach. I mean, they're just all kinds of stuff, and I really don't know what they're going to throw at us when it gets here. But you need to really consider their police force in there. It's like in Monterey, you know, you'll read in that report, couple of cups of sand, you know, 60 reports for one cup of sand in a harbor to determine to do something in that harbor. I mean, it's just crazy stuff because they want it pristine, and when we're all sharing that, it can't stay pristine. It's not going to happen. And as far as oil goes, which is a major issue that everybody constantly hears about, is that... We're not going to have any oil drilling here. We banned that a long time ago, and the public outcry is, I mean, we held hands with everybody that wants a marine sanctuary in that same issue, and that's the way it's going to be continuing. And so I just want to point that out. And so I'm just really here to hope that you'll support the fishing industry, your neighbors here, and, you know, help us keep fresh fish on the market. And as you know, you can hardly get fish. Everything's imported as it is now because we're regulated so much. I mean, we go fishing in the rock fishing industry. Is we have an observer on the boat. When we go out there, they weigh them, they measure them, and there's just all kinds. And we're really scaled down to really low pounds. They've got the average fisherman with around 1,500 pounds a month, I mean, for a two-month period. So it's only like 700 pounds of fish a month is all we're allowed to generate per boat. And in our area, we've only got 15 boats. So, I mean, we're not really destroying a resource or anything. And so I just want to let you folks know how much the fishing industry is impacted, and we don't know how much more we're going to be impacted. And right now they give us, we have permits that aren't even transferable. We're the only fishing industry and a small business that we can't even turn our businesses over to our families. I can't give my son my boat and say, go ahead and make a living. They banned us from that. Our hands are tied. The whole fishing industry is fading away. The average fisherman is 60-something years old. And so we don't have no new generation. They made it so we have no new generations to keep the fisheries going. And so that has nothing to do with much with sanctuaries, but it's just more stuff and that's going on and once the sanctuary does get here. Thank you very much.
So Dave or Butch, can you guys tell us where is NOAA in this process? I understand the application was submitted, was accepted, and that NOAA has had at least one public workshop, I think, last year.
Yes, we
had one in Morro Bay.
Okay, there was one in Morro Bay.
Yes,
and it kind of bombed. It was. I expected to see it in the Tribune,
I expected
to see an article written up in the Tribune, you know, referring to their presentation in Morro Bay, and I saw nothing. And in my opinion, it pretty much bombed. The place was packed, and a lot of people were pretty much going against the statements that were made as being untrue. The people that were aware of what's going on, especially in the Monterey Bay National Sanctuary, and Paul Michelle, who is their superintendent, which can't be removed. Once the feds put this guy in here, your council can't remove him. And that's one of the main things that you'll see in some of the literature, like CMAQ. They don't like the way it's struck, the federal government structures it. You know, the other sanctuaries seem to be working good. But this sanctuary, it's the proponents are primarily the Sierra Club. And, you know, I don't want to offend any of you if you're Sierra Club members. I was once a Sierra Club member, and I finally, you know, didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid. I left. But that's what would be the main driving force behind this sanctuary, which would be very similar to Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, is the more extreme environmental input into it.
Okay. And then we anticipate NOAA having more. Did they say if they're going to have more public meetings?
I haven't heard anything on the calendar. Our harbor interim manager and one of the other commissioners went back to Washington, D.C. They just got back Saturday, and I heard briefly they had a meeting with NOAA, and right now they were saying there's no really, don't have to worry about us pushing this through real soon because right now they have a funding issue. So we had fears that it could try to be pushed through before the Obama administration came to an end, but seems to me like what they indicated to a couple of our staff that that's not going to be the case. But still, we'd like to push forward to try to at least get some opposition from other stakeholders that could be affected.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we'll take the presentation and then maybe later have some discussion about if we would like to put a resolution on the agenda, a future agenda. Okay. So thank you for coming down and presenting that information, and I'm sure we'll be communicating back with you through city staff on this item. But we do have some of the I have some similar concerns, and so I think that what we need to do is have a discussion when we have this on. If the majority wants to put an item on the agenda, we usually discuss those toward the end of our meeting. So that's why we're not having a full discussion right now. I just wanted to let you all know. So at this point, we'll move on to the next item on our agenda tonight. Which is public communications. So any member of the public may address the council on any item that is not on our agenda. I believe I have one speaker request form for public communication.
John A. Weissong. You know, constructive criticism never hurt anyone. It's a damn truth that hurts. I've been wanting to talk to you, but I haven't had a lot of time because I don't run no more.
John, direct your comments to the council, please.
Well, I don't want him to know about it.
Well, he'll hear you.
He will?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, I didn't have any work. And so I found out that $200 went to the city insurance and $188. So I called those people. And I told them about, I thought I should have something for the horrible experience I had. They said I deserved it. How much? And then I told the city manager and you all that I should have the lines flushed because what they did, they opened a trench, threw the pipe in, didn't put a plug on it or a rag. My 7-year-old great-grandson knows better than that. And so I've had 3 men from Madonna and retired and OJDN said that that was the poorest construction they've ever seen, that these people should go back and have a refreshing course. A lot of things have been said because it took 4 months to do that. That's unnecessary. And I don't like to live here and come here and then have that happen. But then I had a couple guys tell me that was already programmed and you had something to do with it because we don't get along. We don't agree. And there's a lot of stuff that I've heard, but I don't like it. And so I don't think no man, regardless of what he is or who he is, should have to go through that. I really don't. I think it's unnecessary. I think it's horrible. I think it's incompetent, irresponsible, inconsiderate, and dysfunctional people running this town. That's what it is. Because I've been across country 23 times since 1960. I've been across three times by myself, 9, 12, and 13. I've been in 16 city councils from here to Dayton, Ohio. And none of them is like this. This is the worst one I've ever been. But I understand, because the city manager, when I asked him about situations, he had nothing to do with it. The mayor tells him what to do. The mayor tells him that's what he did. So he was running scared. He was scared of his shadow. That's what he was. And then I asked him, you know, grade yourself. Right there at Thanksgiving when that happened, I said, I want to hear your grade of what you think your ability is of being a city manager. C minus. And you get six figures? Well, I wouldn't pay anybody a dollar an hour like I first got when I started here for 2 years. And I went to Morro Bay on a dollar an hour. I retired at $15 an hour. But I haven't begged or got out, and you guys can take advantage of me all you want to do it. But I can still stand on my 2 feet at my age and run my business, because nobody would run that business, and you know that business. Nobody would run that for me, because I'll tell you where I'd be. Right down there, the railroad tracks with those people. So, another thing. I know you're a lovely lady and a nice lady and all that. You're very nice at the holidays. But I read an article in the paper said that your children and the railroad. Well, that railroad's gone through here 150 years. I know of 60 years that railroad never had a problem. And I know when several years ago there was more oil tanks on there than there was anything else, because they went from Frisco to L.A. However, if you're going to talk about the railroad and your children, I have two great-grandkids in Templeton that helped my granddaughter get the house because she had horses, and it's a stone throw from the railroad. But you neglect, you absolutely are not going to do anything about Oak Park, where people less fortunate than you people can't cross it, and you're going to make a racetrack out of it. Now, that is not what you were elected for. I'm almost positive. And I think it's a shame that you don't tell him, make that safe. Make it safe for people. Just like I told you the last time, like a kid on a skateboard, 12, 13 years old, out there in the middle, dark, 5 o'clock. Don't worry about that railroad. It's been there. It will be. I've gone from here, like I said, all those trips back there. Every place you go, a town, there's a railroad. And they're all hauling oil cars and freight. You know, once in a while. Once in a while, you're going to have an accident, I'll bet you, in a car you're driving. I want you to think about that. I really do. And
John, I need you to wrap up. I'll give you some extra time, but I need you to wrap up.
I don't like to end my stay here in this town. So I want you to ask them, poll them, what I should get. How much should I tell your insurance company? What am I worth? What is it worth for my wife and I to have that wonderful Thanksgiving dinner? Well, that's dysfunctional.
Thank you, John. Next.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council. I'm Judith Bean. I'm with your Chamber of Commerce. And I just wanted to come up and say that I have good news on the Stone Soup Festival, which you guys support every year, and we really appreciate it. And, of course, our experience is a little different than the previous speaker, because I think I've spent time with each one of you, and I've called city staff. I'm thrilled Jim Copsey's back. Always had a great relationship with Bob Peralt, and I think you guys are doing a terrific job. But I'm here to tell you that we have got, for our main act, Act this year, coming all the way from England, The Fix, and they were super popular in the 1980s, so I think we're going to have a great Stone Soup Festival. We've got a lot of good supporters, and it happens because of people like you and the City Council that have the vision to make something wonderful happen in the city of Grover Beach, and we're looking forward to it the last weekend in August, 27th and 28th. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Judith. Jeff?
Just, Judith, before you leave, just a real quick question. Yeah. So when will tickets go on sale?
Well, as you know, the Stone Soup Festival is completely free, a two-day festival here in front of Ramona Park. And, of course, we'll bring the train display back because that was super popular last year, and being a train city and the things that are going on with the expansion of the train station. We've got a lot of stuff to showcase and looking forward to it. Thank you.
So get there early so you can get a good seat.
Exactly.
Nice. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else come forward, I'm going to close public communications. We're going to bring it back to the council. We have no public hearing items tonight, and then we have a consent agenda where we typically take items that are non-controversial and consider them as a group. And I'm not going to read every item on consent tonight because there are a significant number. Do any members of the council want to pull any item from consent?
I have questions on just about everything.
Okay. Well, so let's do this. I was going to pull item number 9 and think if we pull one item, staff probably is amazed that we only pull one. So let's, Barbara, what are your questions on the items?
Authorization to proceed with the rate study. What specific utilities are we talking about?
Honorable Mayor and City Council, Gayla Chapman, Administrative Services Director. It would be our wastewater, our water, and our stormwater enterprises.
Wastewater, water, and stormwater.
Stormwater.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else, Barbara?
That pretty much answers the other question I had as to whether or not we could use the recent sanitation district rate study as a guideline. Apparently, no.
Okay. Okay. Ma'am, you have any questions on anything on consent?
No, I had a couple today, but the city manager and I talked, and Perfect. He answered them. It's nothing that probably anyone out there would want to hear. So.
Very good. Karen, anything?
Well, I did have a question. I did. I spoke with the city manager regarding. It was. Which item was it now? Can't. Thank you. 8. If I can just get that information. If you have it now, or I can get it later, it's not.
Mr. Mayor, I have that information. She asked for it today. In the item number 8 for the North Park Rehabilitation Project, she asked about the various companies that provided estimates for the construction bid. There were 4 groups. Cannon was one. Caltrop was one. Philippin was one, and SGI GTA was the other. And the dollars that relate to those is Canon was $212,848, which is the one that's being recommended. Caltrop was $252,456. Philippin is $219,664. And the SGI GTA was $206,959. And based on the review, the Canon was the one that was selected.
Thank you.
And again, as a reminder, these are not obviously bids, and they're not selected based on.
I understand. I just thought that we had asked that we would get a list of the bids that were submitted, whether they're professional contracts or bids for construction, whatever. Thank you.
Okay. Jeff.
So, had a question on number 10 with regards to the capital improvement project manager, and mostly just a matter of probably the best way to put it, it's going to lead to a forecasting question for the 2017 budget, and so and beyond, and making sure that the funding sources are going to be adequate to maintain this from a benefit standpoint and a pension standpoint and so forth. So it's kind of a global question, but it'll address this one as well as was it number 9 or any effectively any new positions that we have coming forward.
So yes, there is a fiscal impact to the capital improvement project manager position, and it would be an ongoing impact to the budget, both from a general fund as well as the PERS, CalPERS. The dollar amount for this projected year is listed in the staff report, and it comes from various, a variety of accounts. Probably the largest one would be the measure K-14, which funds that part of that position for the project management of the street rehabilitation. As far as projecting out many years, I don't have those dollar figures, but it'll be, you know, obviously if they get step increases, a person gets step increases, it'll be a small increment to the salary, which would impact each one of those dollar amounts up until they reach the maximum step that they're at for that and on that process.
Okay. And then so as we go, as we move forward, the I know we've had discussions in the past with the Associate Civil Engineer and so forth regarding either in-house staff versus versus contract staff. And I know the council discussion previously settled on a forget the exact term, but for the associate civil engineer it was not a permanent type of position. There was a moniker that we attached to it. Do we is that are the that moniker not being attached here because of the funding sources to K-14, which is a stable funding source, and versus a contract outside a contract project manager?
That's correct. Basically, it's forecasted to be the street projects will probably be about a 20-year-plus scope of work, which is not a an ending part-time job. It's traditionally that would be considered a full-time position if it's going to be that long for that many of projects. And we'll always have capital improvement projects that we need completed in addition to not just the lodge but other capital projects that will be handled.
Okay. Is there a possibility that that would do away with having to have consultant contract managers hired in the future?
The plan is yes, that this will relieve a lot of the responsibilities of future project management. Will it eliminate everything? That's hard to tell because it will depend on the type of projects that come forward. Okay. But the goal and the plan is it will definitely save us money with our bond money because we won't be spending as much. We'll have an in-house position to work on most of that. And as outlined in the staff report, it will definitely help us with a lot of the project management for the up-and-coming beachfront lodge that we have amongst other capital projects.
Okay. Thank you.
And then I have one more kind of I know it's going to be a Ms. Chapman question with regards to an education of my part.
No, so is that on one of the items on consent, or is that something?
Yeah, it's on the. It's basically on all of the ones that have a water reserve element to it. So there's a discussion. I think it starts in the budget amendment for the budget items where there is a discussion. I think it's item. It starts with item number 5, mm-hmm. where in the quarter. To fiscal report, it was represented at the approximately $450,000 cash reserve level. And I see the discussion with regards to that's a set point in time, and yet the water reserve resolutions all started about $240,000 for the cash reserves remaining in the water resources. Are we anticipating other savings that are going to ramp up to that $450,000 of cash reserves at the end, or how does that where did the $200,000 difference occur?
So what yeah so Ms. Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, the amount of the 449 that was in the mid-year budget was looking at actuals. And our beginning balance ended up being higher than what was originally anticipated. But whenever you look at an AAR, which is a budget amendment, you're looking at the budgeted numbers. So you take the what was listed in the budget as the ending balance, and you subsequently reduce the amount of the reserves based on any budget amendments that take place. Is it perfect? No. But you have to take from a certain position and move forward.
Gotcha. So towards that end then, so the 449 had an additional approximately $200,000 that either has been generated by proceeds of the city. And so did that, where did that go?
It's in the actuals.
Okay, so the numbers that are in the budgets are in the forecast, but the actuals are actually higher than
the actual is a little bit higher.
Okay.
Currently.
Okay. That's good. A good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. The actuals being higher than what's forecast. So.
Thank you.
So okay, then we don't need to pull those, but I do want to ask a question on item 8. And I think Karen had asked a question regarding who had bid and the amount. So I want to understand that while I understand we're under no obligation to take the low bid, I just need to understand what was the main reason for selecting a firm that their price tag was about $6,000 more than one of the other firms. If they're all considered qualified, I'd like to know that. And then while you're there, tell me what is this process of an SOQ gotten us, because are we still asking folks to bid on these projects and it's not moving us along any quicker? So I'm just a little trying to understand this.
Okay, so the process that we've entered into in particular and only for construction management services so far is a two-part SOQ RFP process. And so the idea is... if you made every time you went out for consulting services, in this case CM services, if we made every firm develop an SOQ and submit that and we reviewed them every time, along with their RFP, or their proposal, in this case the RFP is our side of it. So they give you their statement of qualifications along with their proposal and their, either separately under separate envelope, their fee estimate, and they're just estimates. Then it's a lot of work to decide if their statement of qualifications are, if they're really qualified, and you spend a ton of time in that part of the document, then moving into the specific proposal and ultimately a negotiation over the final price. So what we did is we entered this two-part process, and we've completed the SOQ portion, which means that all the firms who have submitted SOQs and were determined to be qualified are now on this short list. And all they have to do now, hopefully at a savings time and cost savings to them, all they have to do is submit their specific proposal. And their specific proposal, the idea of that is, you send us your SOQ, tell us which of those people identified is going to work on the project, and tell us about this particular project. How do you view this project? And how are you uniquely situated to be able to perform on this project? So there is still a bit of a review going on there, in terms of your qualifications, your experience with similar projects. It's a little off base, but let's say an example would be some kind of, take the interesting decorative crosswalks we have on Grand Avenue. That's lithocrete. And so we're aware there's two companies in California that do lithocrete. So if we went and had an SOQ, and a bunch of companies said, yeah, we can do concrete. And we said, okay, you're all qualified to do concrete. And then we went out to do a lithocrete project, and we got a proposal from a lithocrete firm and the rest of them from concrete firms. We'd say, oh, wow, the lithocrete firm is uniquely qualified for this kind of a process and this kind of a project. And that's what occurs here. We have a ranking sheet. I actually have one of them directly in front of me, and it says, capacity of the team to complete the work. As envisioned, the overall teams demonstrated qualifications and experience. their construction manager and resident engineer's specific experience, and this is as it relates to the project and size of project we're doing. The approach, so their unique approach to the project and the scope of work, and you know, each firm sees things a little bit differently. And then finally, their proposed fee, and then some little minor cleanup items, such as, you know, were they okay with our standard forms of insurance and our contract. And so those are the ranking and how the various applicants are ranked in terms of their specific proposals. So when you get down to, in this case, the difference was about, like you mentioned, $6,000. You know, they're all, that's pretty much in the ballpark for a $200,000-something project. $6,000 is again, their estimates. So these proposals, their work occurs on a time and materials basis, and it's not capped at their estimate necessarily. It could exceed it. It could come in under.
Okay. I guess I just keep seeing this trend with the utility rate study. We got four bids, and we chose someone closer to the highest. So I'm just trying to understand what's compelling you all to choose if someone's qualified not to take the low bid. Like, and I know we're not by law required, but I'm just need to understand. And then going forward, and we're talking way too much, you probably should pull this item off consent. So I think I want to have we should have a conversation of whether this SOQ process is really working, if it's really a pathway to get qualified firms that are local to this city out doing work in this community. So I think that's a discussion for another time. And I'm hoping that there's a majority or many of us on the council feel the same way. I don't know what your thoughts are, but
I do have one other question on 8. It seems to me that when this project was first being discussed, we had an engineering agreement with Wallace Group and with Gehring Taylor on Oak Park, Gehring Taylor doing the intersection area and Wallace Group doing the rest. Where is that in all this right now?
It's not part of the discussion. The design work on the project that we're moving forward with, which is really just the rehabilitation of Oak Park Boulevard and then a overlay of the very bottom portion of Oak Park Boulevard and an overlay of West Grand Avenue. The work, that's the project, and so that design work is completed. We've bid it. We have selected a contractor. The portion which the design effort, which would ultimately resolve the intersection geometry, is partially complete, and that process needs to be moved forward and is part of the budget process in determining, you know, if there's available funds to bring on additional consulting work to address landscape design issues and other amenities, which would be above and beyond the scope of the geometric improvements.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so based on the questions and the responses, do any members of the council feel compelled to pull any additional items off of consent? Item 9 has been pulled. If there are no other items under consideration to be pulled, then I'd be looking for a motion on the remaining items.
I'll make a motion I'll make a motion that we accept the remaining items other than item 9 as presented.
Okay, very good.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, that motion carries. So let's take item 9 now rather than putting it at the back of the agenda. Jeff, do you have anything on this item?
Bear with me.
Or maybe I'll wait for Mr. Ray to get here and just give us a brief staff report on this item. And this is the this is the contract amendment engineering project manager.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. Greg Ray, Public Works Director, City Engineer. As you mentioned, the item before you tonight is the contract amendment for engineering project manager. And I'll just jump quickly into the discussion.
On April 20th, 2015, the council authorized staff to enter into a contract with Hollenbeck Consulting for project management services associated with the Major K-14 bond-funded street rehab and repair program. The current contract was for project management services for the first and second phase projects, as well as the selection of streets for the first phase of the next year's bond project. However, due to cost savings found in the first two phases, an additional light maintenance project, we're calling 2015-3 or 295-3, it has been added. So if the proposed contract amendment is approved, the contract would be amended to fund the current engineering project manager through the remainder of the 2015-2 project. He's slightly underfunded on that project, and would add in the entire 2015-3 project through the bidding phase and through the bidding phase of the 2016-1 project. So it covers us sort of short term, but it covers us through bidding of the next bond funded project. Also, on July 20th, 2015, council authorized staff to enter into a contract amendment with the same person, Hollenbeck Consulting, for project management services on North Oak Park Boulevard. And that contract was for project management services through completion of bidding. And as you're aware, you have awarded that construction contract to SUSE. And so we're past his contract on that. So the contract amendment would basically amend to fund the engineering project manager through the completion of the Oak Park project. Jumping rather quickly forward to the recommendation is to amend the existing contract with Hollenbeck Consulting to include the scope of work I just mentioned. And so for the Major K bond-funded program, that would increase his contract amount by $160,000 to cover basically a new phase in the remainder of, two new phases in the remainder of 2015-2, and then an amendment of roughly $40,000 to cover the remainder of North Oak Park Boulevard. And so if your action tonight, the recommended action would be to adopt the resolution amending the contract for project management services related to CIP 295 and 276 and authorize the city manager to execute the contract amendment on the behalf of the city. And just a side note, under fiscal impact, sufficient funds have been set aside in the project budget for these purposes. So with that, I'll turn it back to you for questions.
Okay, very good. Mayor Pro Tem Lee, you have any questions?
Yeah, just one or two with regards to the, obviously as part of the consent calendar, we just approved the capital improvement project manager moving forward. This contract could extend until that person was brought on board, and then this contract could be either completed or not in terminated or identified as completed, or there could be some crossover between the two, or what's the thought on that?
I've been anticipating overlap, and in discussions with the city manager, I think that's the discussion. It's a bit of a wait and see. First, we have to go through, obviously, the procurement process and hopefully are successful in that. But I suspect with any new city employee, we would expect some overlap period, so probably some overlap. And then ultimately, it's likely that this position would replace some or all of our consulting project management functions.
Okay. So, and this is a general question, so please don't, if Mr. Hollenbeck is listening, it's not intended towards him. Are we happy with the services that they've been providing, that Hollenbeck Consulting has been providing to us? Is this a direction that we want to continue? Obviously, there's a consistency with continuing this, but is that in the best interest of the city from your standpoint?
From my perspective, it's been working very well. There's always challenges in a non-city employee when you're dealing with all the interactions, the perspective of a city employee versus the protection of your residents and your community is slightly different than that of a consultant. But it's been working well. Obviously, the costs for a consultant are somewhat higher, and you don't have the savings of overlapping into other projects and things like that. But I think it generally has been positive, and of course, it's freed me up to do some other things. maybe just not as much as we probably hoped. So.
Okay. Barbara, you have anything?
Yes. Are any of these management costs covered in the funding, or is it all out of the general fund?
They're all covered within the project original funding. So.
Okay. Any questions to my left? Okay. So, you partially answered the first question. So, what are the consequences of us not extending, amending this contract?
As in now? So, Hollenbeck Consulting would be done on phase two. So, phase two would continue without a project manager. Well, I'd overtake the duties of the project manager on the second phase. Phase three, I would take over project manager, which is still in design and pending to go out to bid here very soon. 16-1 would have no project manager, and Oak Park Construction would have no project manager. So I'm about to also, I am the project manager on the CDBG waterline project. I'm about to embark on that. So I would have five projects in active construction. I would literally do nothing else. So that would be the impact, I believe.
So, I mean, I understand the importance of having this work. I understand the fact that the council has said, hey, we need to get this done. And I understand when you do those sort of things, the price is not the lowest it could be. I understand that. But I'm just wondering, are these numbers based on actuals? They're based on engineering estimates? Do we know if Mr. Hollenbeck is working a certain number of hours, and are we tracking that? Because I got to tell you, I'm sitting here looking at just for the original contract for CIP 295 was $150,000. We're talking about another $160,000, so $310,000. We're talking about CIP 276, $50,000, and another looks like another $40,000, which brings the total to $90,000. So we're talking about $400,000 for this individual over a two-year period. So I'm just, are we tracking his hours, or how are we coming up with these numbers?
So there's sort of two questions in there. One is, are we tracking his hours, and do we understand what he's doing? And absolutely. He invoices us on an hourly basis, and the invoices are very detailed and task-specific. And we go back, we have weekly meetings where we track his progress and his effort to the project and, you know, and look at things like, are you spending too much money? Are you too engaged in this? Are you not engaged enough? He's working nearly full-time, if not, well, it's interesting for a consultant.
And that was one of my questions.
He's working nearly full-time 7 days a week, if that makes any sense. So he's about 7 hours a day most days of the week, and then sometimes when the project, when certain phases of the project either all occur at once or a very busy phase of the project, I know he's been putting in some very long hours. So that, as far as the current effort, it is highly detailed and tracked very carefully. As far as these estimates, they're just based on the past effort, and that's the best information we have. Looking back, okay, you spent this much time over this many months of this project, and if we know from the schedule that you have about 3 months left, maybe the workload's not going to be quite as much. So, you know, we have to make some value judgments there, and this is the best guess.
And what is his hourly rate again per the contract?
He's in the neighborhood of $160,000.
Okay.
I'm sorry, $160 an hour. Pardon my. I'm thinking the year.
I knew what you meant.
Thank
and I
you.
Will. Okay.
As a follow-up question to that, and not knowing the structure of his company and probably not necessarily needing to know, but more of a curiosity question, how many people does he have in his office working on these projects?
Him.
Just him?
Okay.
And so your plate's already full because you're basically managing the water projects, and obviously you need to manage others in your department. And then we're in the process of bringing somebody on, and hopefully we can start to contain some of these costs. So I guess the big thing is to just make sure we get through these sets of streets, getting Oak Park done and getting 2015 two and three
Correct.
And then the design of 2016 One Street, which includes Newport and Long Branch.
Right. So we anticipate his contract would take that through bidding. So design and through the bidding process. And the value of that is that the interaction between the contractors bidding on the project, the questions to the design engineer, and that whole coordination process. It's a lot of time. So it would be good to have him do it if in fact that's our only option when we get to that stage.
Okay, Jeff, you have another question.
Yeah, one last. It's kind of an order of magnitude question. The value of all the contracts for the work. I mean, the $400,000 worth of work is getting us $8 million, $10 million worth of projects.
Yeah, you're right at $8
million. Is it about $8
million?
Yeah. Okay. So it's there's a percentage. Was that? It's, My brain's not doing the math in it, but is it about 5%?
Yeah, about 5%.
Okay.
So, you know, just to throw a little bit of a perspective on that, you're in the industry too, and I know Councilman Bright is, but we estimate about 15% for construction management, 10 to 15% for design, and you know, project management hopefully somewhere between 5 and 10%. So.
Wow.
On a total scale, I mean, soft costs eat up a lot of your construction costs, and we know that, and especially with consultants. So,
government is so inefficient.
So true.
Okay, that's all I've got. Anybody else have any comments? Is anyone from the public that would like to address this item? To see no one come forward, let's bring it back to the council. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt the resolution amending the contract for. I recommend we move staff's recommendation.
That's simple.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second, and I believe we should do this on roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries, and hopefully staff was, like you said, tracking this and. Tell Mr. Hollenbeck we would like a volume discount, if at all possible. All right. So that brings us to regular business. This is item number 13, consideration of a resolution revising City Council committee assignments for calendar year 2016. Interim City Manager Copsey.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Last year, toward the end of the year, the council was provided some information regarding a recycled water facilities planning study by Pismo Beach, and we're invited. They also were looking to invite agencies to meet and participate in the development of that regional recycled water project and potentially a governance system if it moves into fruition. For a regional groundwater sustainability program. And as council knows, we have a long-term drought. The city's water supplies are at record lows. Lopez Lake is, I think, below 30%, down to 29 or 28 now. Based on long-term predictions, it's unlikely that city supplies will fully recover in the near future. Bless you. The city has a need, obviously, for additional water supplies in order to help ensure long-term sustainability and in order to respond to short-term supply emergencies. Council has identified desalination, recycled water, and water conservation as possible projects as we move toward the future. The Pismo Beach Recycled Ground Sustainability Project is currently moving forward. Pismo Beach put in a considerable amount of money to start the process and have asked for local cities, Oceano Community Services, Royal Grande, and Grover Beach to participate in a committee, if you might say, that has unyet to determined dates to look at the feasibility costs, benefits to the city's groundwater supply system, which benefits all of the cities that are looking at this. They're asking for a participant from staff as well as one participant and an alternate from the city councils. I met with the mayor and Greg Ray at their first meeting about a week and a half ago, and it was kind of interesting. It was just a kickoff meeting, so we didn't really get into the depth of the projects. From what they said at that time, the next meeting would probably be in a couple months. So I don't think I don't know yet whether it's going to be a monthly meeting or what. But they've, at this point, the city probably should have a representative on at least the committee so that we can definitely stay informed and see where the project goes to make sure that it down the road might be feasible, if it's something feasible for the city of Grover Beach. At this point, there's no fiscal impact except for staff time that we'll be working on this. Staff has recommended the council could select a representative and an alternate to this Pismo Beach recycled groundwater sustainability project and adopt a resolution advising the council appointments for calendar year 2016. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that staff report. Any questions of staff? No? No?
Okay. It's a comment afterwards, but no questions.
Okay. This is a regular business item. I'm not going to. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address that for the council? Seeing no one come forward, what's your comment?
Actually, it's two comments, one of which is unrelated to the item we're actually talking about at the moment. So I'll go with that one first. So the on the rack, so there's an inconsistency between the appointment worksheet and what's actually in the language. So because in the language, it's actually Mayor Scholes as the alternate, and on the council appointments for 2016, it's actually me. And I'm guessing it's going to stay with me because the board's already appointed the RAC assignments. So,
done. What's your next one?
Exactly. So, on this one, I think we definitely need someone on there. I don't know who's the right person to do that. Depending upon timing and frames, I can see four other people looking at me, but.
So, here's what I was going to suggest. I'll take the pressure off you. So, if you want to appoint me, that's fine. And then, as we go forward, if we need to change representatives, then we can do that. I will tell you, the first meeting was maybe a little bit more than just introductions, because they actually showed a couple of potential options for if they are successful and moving forward with reclaimed water. They talked about injection wells and other facilities, and wouldn't you figure they showed, I think, two or three alternatives, and all three, the city of Grover Beach comes through our city. So we do need to be there. We do need to be at the table. And so I know your schedule is pretty impacted too. And so if you guys are okay, I will volunteer to be on this committee, and then when the time comes, if I need to shift to Mr. Lee, then we can do that.
That's very good of you.
So sounds like I'll make a motion that Mayor Scholes is the primary and I'll be the alternate.
There a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. We are moving. Item 14. This is the 2015 annual report on the status of the general plan. Mr. Buckingham.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. The state requires the city to submit an annual report addressing the status of the general plan and progress made towards its implementation of its goals and policies. The report provided to you summarizes the progress made in 2015, and it also provides historical data for building permits and new residential units. The highlights for 2015 include almost 400 building permits issued, which we think was an all-time high, and 31 new residential units, which was the most since 2007. Other accomplishments this year include five code amendments and continued administration of the CDBG grant, which is a $1.8 million grant for water, housing are to be determined, as well as the planning and technical assistance grants we got for updating the housing element and the economic development strategy. And our other grant, which is the home program, which was for $750,000, and that's split equally between owner rehab and first-time home buyers assistance. As you'll note in the tables provided in the staff report that list the land use element policies and then the final general plan EIR mitigation measures, significant progress has been made in implementing those since 2010 when the council adopted the land use element. Looking ahead in to 2016 and beyond, there will be a major development code amendment that we need to do this year in response to the housing element update of 2014. Our friends at the state and the Housing and Community Development Department are basically require us within a certain time frame to make amendments, and so we'll be bringing that to the council later this year with some other amendments as well. In addition, while the development code was updated a few years ago and we made significant progress in that event, there are still several amendments that have been identified in our land use element that need updating, and you're very familiar with them. We need updates to, for our signage ordinance, parking standards, PD development standards, as well as a subdivision ordinance, and there's actually more than that as well. So, another note, it should be recognized with the exception of our land use element and our circulation element, all of the remaining seven elements are over 10 years old. And the state sends me a little letter every year reminding me of that. It is not a mandate that they be updated every 10 years, but because they may still be legally adequate. But the state Supreme Court has indicated that it's an implied duty that we keep those as up to date as possible. So, couple other things. First of all, next year, you know, right now we bring you the land use element and the housing element, and quite frankly, those two elements have the most implementation measures that we're trying to keep you up to speed on. But it is our hope in the future to bring you the rest of the elements and their implementation policies in this very long chart or table form to just keep you abreast of the policies that we have been successful in implementing, but also the ones that we still are not able to implement because of time or staff resources. You know, examples of those, even the Grand Avenue Master Plan, the Climate Action Plan, we've got lots of implementation policies that are ongoing. So the purpose of this item or this document tonight is to assist the council in setting priorities with the understanding that we do not have all of the budget resources to implement everything within all of these policy documents. A couple of weeks ago, the Planning Commission did review the annual report and recommended that it be forwarded to the City Council. With that, staff recommends the council receive and file the report and direct us to submit it to the state as required by law. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Let's start to the left. Any questions, Mayor?
I have one just on 2.2, the affordable housing. It says that we have no implementation measures for this policy, but I know at the next meeting we're going to be talking about, I think, over $300,000 CDBG funds that we're hoping that someone will partner with us on. But why does that constitute no implementation?
It actually happens that in the document, for whatever reasons, there were no implementation measures for that specific policy. In regards to what you're talking about, I'm sure we could point to several other policies and implementation measures within the document that do address us trying to assist, whether it's affordable housing or, I think in this case, also the homelessness issue or lack of housing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Karen, any questions?
Yes. On page 5, on the bottom graph, under new residential dwelling permits, and there's an asterisk, and it says, may not reflect total number of new units. Oh, I get it now. I guess because they pulled permits, that doesn't mean that an actual unit was constructed.
That's it. And we also have different ways of reporting. A four-unit apartment project is really only one building permit, but it's four units.
Gotcha.
We try to convert it to the council, really what I think is the most important measurement, and that is how many new residential units did we create? And so in this case, last year, it was really 31 because we also had two live work units that are part of a project that a permit was pulled.
Very good. When I was reading it, I didn't get that at the time, but thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jeff?
So a couple questions. Thanks for that report, Bruce. Sticking on that same section of the report, but going to page 6. So there's the development applications. Says that the Planning Division received 26 development permit applications. How many were successfully processed either to the Planning Commission or through a construction project, realizing some of them will have a long lead time, but how many did the city actually push through?
I think the answer is the majority of them that we receive do get processed, and of course the vast majority get approved. Sometimes there's a couple of exceptions. An application is submitted and maybe they withdraw it before it gets to the Planning Commission, or sometimes we're creative and we're able to find things that don't need discretionary permits, and then they might drop off the list. But the vast majority get processed.
Sounds good. And then I think you addressed my other question. And if I can get to the correct page, there's a number of items towards the end of the landscape document saying that the update needs to be completed within 2 years or 1 year of 2014. And if I can find, bear with me.
You're referring to the housing element policies?
Yeah, the housing element policies towards the back half of the, come on. Bear with me. There's a number of elements, and it's not jumping out at me, sorry. Where it basically says it was adopted in 2014, but we need to have a further action on the policy within 2 years, but it says it's still pending. And so is that what you're saying is going to be part of the update, this year's update?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to confirm that. There it is. Table C, program implementation status, has two of them.
Yep.
Consider revising the PUD standards and so forth. So, okay. So the... So the gist of this is basically it's a report, annual report going up to the state. This meets the criteria that they've set for us, so we're in compliance with what they need to do, what we need to do, which then provides us an opportunity to either do grant funding or some other programs through the state. This adequately addresses that.
And I would just say that it's not a matter of being in compliance. The state just wants to see the progress that's being made, and I think in part they want to have this conversation. They want to know that staff is informing the council of the progress that has been that is being made.
Okay.
So I would just add too, we've tried to expand this to not be so technical in these tables we have to give the state, and that's why we're giving you building permit history and development application history, just so you can get a kind of a pulse on, I'll say, development overall in the community, not just each of these little policies and where we stand. So.
Okay.
Barbara?
I have no questions.
Okay. So, Bruce, so tonight, basically, we'll give you direction. You'll file this report with the state. You're not recommending any specific action at this time with respect to those elements that are beyond 10 years old.
I am not, but I think, you know, this is something that just happens to coincide with the budget process. The issue here really is, as you've seen, we can try to get staff to do some of these things, but if we want them done in a more compressed time frame, then it would take hiring a consultant. And some tasks are better handled by a consultant because of their expertise, like updating the open space and conservation element. There are some technical aspects of that for staff to learn that, it would be much more efficient to hire a consultant to do something like that.
And that's the oldest one. That was, you said, 1973.
It's an original one.
So I would hope that maybe subsequently you come back with some recommendations I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking at scenic routes as an optional element, not a state-mandated element.
Correct.
So perhaps staff can come back with the strategy of how can we do these in a fashion that's effective and cost-effective and timely. So I'm just wondering, do we delete the scenic, would it be wise to delete the scenic routes element or fold it into the circulation element? So, I mean, that's kind of a discussion that we probably need to have.
Yes, because staff does have some recommendations on how to handle that.
Okay, and then when I look at the noise element, 1993, I can't imagine there being any major changes with that element.
Correct. I mean, that's one that even though, despite its age, it's probably still legally defensible. Noise elements are typically looking at trip generation, and they would have looked at build out for the worst case scenario, and those things really haven't changed. Both the noise and the safety element were done as kind of a group. The cities and the county got together and did that because a lot of the technical data is amassed at the same time, so there's efficiency. So, you know, it may also be time to go back and talk to the other agencies about is there a joint effort that could be done again for economies of scale.
Okay. So perhaps you come back at a time, at a certain time, to have a discussion regarding, you know, maybe the four oldest elements, which are the open space, conservation, the scenic routes, noise, and safety, and figure out how we can combine those and get them all within that time frame. While I understand it's not a mandate, we know the general plan is supposed to be a dynamic living document and reflect the time we're living in and what is forecast. And so when we're talking about something that's 27 plus 15, 40. Wow. Yes.
Before you were born.
Way before I was born. So I, you know, and I know this is not, you just giving us a report tonight, but maybe if there's consensus on the council, that staff come back and just give us further or a strategy of how we can address the four oldest elements on here, which I think I just... open space and conservation, which is a state mandated element, noise is state mandated, safety is state mandated, and scenic resources is optional.
Okay. I'm in agreement with that, with the caveat that I was going to talk about that in the next item, which is our...
You were. Oh.
So, but whether that's a appropriate discussion for that item or a separate discussion, I'm good.
It's probably more appropriate in the next item. So now we know we're going to talk a little bit about. Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address that before the council? Seeing no one come forward, I'll bring it back. And at this point, this is just a receive and file the report. We did provide some direction to staff, and that's really to submit it to the state, correct? Okay. So there's really no... Do I need a motion or on this since it's just to receive and file? Okay, we're good. Okay, so I believe we are going to just receive and file this report with the state in accordance with statutory requirements. Okay, now what everyone's been waiting on, item number 15... discussion regarding the setting of city goals and work program for fiscal year 17. Interim City Manager Compsy, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I'm going to give this a shot to work this from here. voila. So what I want to try and accomplish tonight is basically take a brief look at the status of our FY16 goals. I want to give a brief budget outlook, which covers our expected revenues and expenditures for this for FY17, as well as a brief one on FY16. Capital improvement program, I want to touch on the water enterprise fund, staff workload, which we all know, and then we need to get into the development of our FY17 goals. And then at the last, we'll cover the next steps from there. I put this up there. This mission statement is actually on our goals, which is actually posted on the webpage. But I wanted to touch on it first, to hopefully set the tone, that coming back after 8 months and what I missed and what I've seen here from the council, this really mission statement does hold true. The council, as well as all of the staff that we have here at the city, are definitely dedicated to developing and maintaining a strong and vital municipal organization that maximizes current and future resources and maximizes public safety for its residents and visitors to improve the city's infrastructure and ensure the delivery of quality services to our citizens. And I can tell you that you've got great employees, and I really appreciate the council that we have. And with that, I'd like to move forward with our goals, our process. So the outlook for FY16, and this is, let me remind you, this is not necessarily a budget discussion, but I wanted to give you some setting numbers to look at where we are and where we're going, hopefully. These are expected revenues predicted for the end of the fiscal year of $8,637,000, and our expected expenditures are just over $9 million. And some of those shortfalls are due to one-time expenditures, such as the financial system was originally approved to come out of reserves, and some of the other things that have come up. But I think those, according to the first outlook, the first look at it, those will be covered with our reserves, and that's what's already been approved by council. Now, the expected expenditures might come in less based on salary savings and staffing savings, as some of the positions are not filled currently, and they're still being worked on. FY17 budget. In looking at what we've done so far, is with the administrative services director, we looked at the revenues that are going to be expected for next year at $8,516,000. And it's just slightly lower than what we expect from this last year, and that's because of the one-time revenues that we expect to receive by the end of the year and throughout this past year. The property tax is stable. Actually, hopefully it'll go up a little bit, but that's what's being predicted at $3,878,000. Our sales tax will be $1.5 million, and it's expected a 2% increase there. The TOT is expected to go up between 1% and 2.5%, and we expect some possible development-related increases, development impact fees that will come from some of the hotels and projects that are being moved forward. I mentioned also that anytime through this, if you have a question on what's being presented, just let me know. I have no problem with interruptions. Some of the expenditures, and this is a little different, a little more unique than I think we've had in the past for the council. We've met with each department director in the last couple weeks, and my direction to them was to bring to the table of the first budget run what they feel that their department needs in order to accomplish the task set out before them. This was not to be a dream list of items or things that, you know, obviously that would, you know, they might need, but just, you know, a shot in the moon for that, but stuff that they really felt that they needed. What I found was most of the budgeted items that were brought forward were status quo, with minor increases in supplies because supplies have gone up, postage and shipping and all that, you know, the slight increases there. Where the essential needs, those were slightly increased. One of the significant ones is CalPERS increases about 8 to 10%. It's predicted about $111,000. So the deficit that we came up with was kind of shocking, actually. It came out to be about $877,000 that were short if everything was approved on our needs list. And that... Also, I also want to mention there's additional needs that were brought forward for facility repairs, maintenance, some of the failing equipment. We've got some dump trucks. I don't want to get into all the specific needs with technology and staffing needs. There's a number of staff positions that have been unfilled for some time. That's another 750, just round numbers. I just wanted to point that out because it was kind of significant to me to look at these dollar figures, and I don't want to make it too alarming, but I just wanted to make sure that council is aware that staff and the needs of the city, we have a lot of unmet needs. A lot of our buildings, for example, are, you know, they've got dry rot, they're falling through. We just had to replace the roof on City Hall, the facility here. A lot of things are not, a lot of the needs are not being met from a facility maintenance point of view. Some of the maintenance workers are driving old equipment, and granted, they're being put back together, but it's not a, you know, we're getting by, if you might say, but I've kind of looked at things as I just want to point this out because I don't want us to become a city that continually strives for mediocrity. I think we need to look at above and beyond some of that, and then I just point this out as we look toward this goal setting that we consider some of those needs as we, you know, look at some of the other goals that we have and continue with the ones that we have.
So before you go any further, because this is very alarming, and I'm sure anyone in the audience, anyone at home listening, so a lot of these needs have not been communicated to the council before tonight, and these are just items that have been put on a list, and then some of them include building maintenance, correct?
That's correct, and it's our responsibility as staff, what we bring to council during the budget, that our goal will be to bring a balanced budget. So the plan is not to start the year with a $1 million deficit, if you might say. The plan is to start and bring to council a balanced budget. A lot of the items that are put on here are items that obviously will be cut because we can't meet those needs. And it's just I wanted to bring the attention to that so that, you know, the council knows. And some of those items, you know, depending on how the budget process comes about down the road, may be listed as optional budget items that council can pick from to include in the budget or not include budget based on the financing.
Okay, so we don't have a deficit. We potentially could have a deficit if we choose to fund these items. I want to make sure that everyone's clear. Okay.
So a little more positive. Our current capital improvement program consists of 26 projects with a little over almost $11 million for FY16 that's being spent, about $19 million overall. And these are approved projects that the council has chosen to move forward with a variety of different funding. And that's from our Measure K14 that the community passed in bonds, as well as a lot of capital projects. And this includes like the Oak Park for a little over $2 million. And, you know, there's some significant projects that are being completed in Grover Beach. You can't really highlight it with just that one statement, but it really is a lot of work that's being done here. So it's a significant increase over prior year. There's as council knows, there's a huge increase in work activity, and the major highlighted ones, as I mentioned, are the street rehabilitation, the Oak Park Boulevard, the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center, and some of the large developments that are being proposed and being worked on. So a little water enterprise fund. I wanted to highlight the water conservation efforts that have gone on. Our city has done a very good job of saving water throughout the last couple years, and most recently, we're typically every water cycle we're right around 30%, which is significant for saving water. I know it's a huge challenge for a lot of families. The issue with that, though, is because we're selling less water, our revenues are down for the water fund, and our expenditures are up for a number of reasons with the failing water infrastructure and the water lines for the new streets that we want to replace. As we put in the new streets, we want to fix what's under them so we don't tear them up again. So some of the needs for the water enterprise fund as we move forward are, we've already approved to get a rate study done and to look at that. We need to consider some of the infrastructure for the water lines and additional water sources, which we also talked about earlier on that one program that Pismo Beach is looking at.
So before you leave that slide, yeah. Jim, if you would, in the staff report discussion, there's a line that jumped out at me that I had not read before or had not heard before with regards to Zone 3 payments. having an insufficient cash balance to make those payments to the county. Going to need a little more description on that, please.
I'm going to ask Gayla to answer that. She's got a little more details on that, but yeah.
Mayor and City Council, in doing an analysis of the water fund and the upcoming payments that we are going to be having, we're going to be having workers' comp payments in July, liability insurance payments in July, and also the Zone 3 payment is due in July. And as of what it looks like right now, we will be short on having sufficient funds to make all of those payments, and we may have to do a loan to the water fund.
Okay.
I won't spend a lot of time on the workload. You've got that in your staff report, but I did want to touch briefly on the staffing status. The associate engineer, which was approved, job position, which was approved by council, we're in the middle of that process. Why wouldn't you say middle? We're nearing the end of that process. We had a testing. And we've got a person identified that we're moving forward with, and hopefully they'll, if they pass the background, and we'll move forward with that as we. But that's nearing. It looks real positive there. And with the project manager position, I've already talked to staff. If that was approved tonight, which it was, that will go out tomorrow. We will open it up tomorrow, and we have it will be open until filled. So hopefully it won't be a long process. As soon as we find a candidate, we can move forward with that process. There are a number of staffing needs. We have a lot of course, the work, you've seen the workload, and those are administrative positions. Pretty much every department, police, records, and I should mention that Parks and Rec is not actually listed there, but they're included as well in the staffing needs. Workload tasks, as we look at the existing lists and the future projects that are coming up, and I'm hoping what we're moving forward with in the Public Works Department, and once we get some extra staff on that the council's approved, will really allow us to better complete some of the capital improvement projects that we've outlined as needs. All right, so I wasn't planning on going over a status update for the FY16 goals, but I'm happy to do that. If council wishes, there's been minor changes since the mid-year report that you already received. So if you had questions on that, I'd be more than happy to, you know, as well as the department heads that are here. There's a typo there. It says 5-6. So I was just seeing if you'd catch that. There's actually 6 goals and implementation tasks that are to be that were part of the FY16 includes the program progress and the dates and assigned staff that's on there. And for the public, that report is also online if people wanted to look and see what we've all done and where we're at on some of the projects for our capital improvement projects as well. All right, so what do we do now? What do we do for FY17? And that's kind of where we're at now. It's really up to the council on the recommended approach. What we've done in past is we've reviewed the FY16 goals. We update them or change them, eliminate them, we add to them as necessary based on what council chooses, receive public input, and then provide direction with staff to return for the at the next council meeting with a draft, and which at that time can be modified again. And changed, and also receive additional public input from that as we, you know, look at next year's project. So with that, it's really, I have a number of slides that are listed for each goal. If you want to see them on the board, or Mr. Mayor, we can choose a different alternative method, or we can see what we've got and see if we want to keep the goals. Some of them are pretty significant goals that I would suspect would probably stay on the list. But it's really up to the council on how they want to proceed.
So, Jim, let me, just for clarification, your staff report is you're recommending the council review the materials and recommended approach and provide staff direction. So are you suggesting we go through the goals tonight, give you direction? Is that...
So yes, Mr. Mayor. What I was hoping is we would be able to, because it's I wouldn't say time-sensitive, but... somewhat in order to set the help us to develop the budget and work on what we can present for council in the budget process. What we've done in the past is we've gone through the previous year goals, and we've looked at how those either need to be updated or changed. For example, I'll just go to the next slide. The first one we have is economic development and economic vitality. The goal was, you know, such listed that to strengthen the city's economic base. In the past, council's gone, is that still a good goal? And then we look at the objectives under that, and that's one, obviously, that one method that we've done in the past at the council. We can continue to do that, and then drive. We can make wordsmithing changes or add or subtract to it as we move forward.
Okay. So I'm sure everyone has read the staff report and reviewed the material. Six goals, and I know in the past we've listed them out, and there has not been any we haven't prioritized, even though they're numbered 1 through 6, it doesn't indicate priority. And given the wonderful news you've delivered to us tonight, I'm just wondering if we think about, do we want to keep these six goals, and then do we want to weigh in on whether there should be some priorities given to the goals? So, who wants to start? Do we want to keep? These six goals still consistent with where the council would like to go and the vision that's been laid out for this community? Do we want to delete any, or do we want to add any? Ms. Shaw.
I'll kick it off with a general statement because I'm not even sure how to do this specifically. One thing I might like to see is we have so many new projects going. I mean, all our CIP projects, which are for the most part funded, I would like us somehow to, because things are getting better and the economy is getting better, to try to bring our city now out of the recession mindset and out of the emergency to emergency mindset and try to maybe get back the staff that we need in areas where we need it and do maintenance where we've put it off because of the recession and try to go that direction. And if it means maybe a couple new reaches within our goals might have to wait, I think that's okay because we're accomplishing so much with the projects that we're doing. So I don't know how that translates to the
okay.
goals.
Karen, you have any thoughts?
Well, really just one that really jumped out at me over the weekend. And it is regarding actually going after things that are going to be income producing. For example, I noticed the vacation rental ordinance. Staff recommends that we delay that. Well, that's income revenue generating. I think that's something we should go forward with. I happened to have an issue with a vacation rental this weekend, so I just kind of took a quick little look. And just in my brief review, I found 30 in Grover Beach. Like the average rental is like $380 a night. I did a quick little review. Anyway, I think we're missing out on a good chunk of change. Yeah. Anyway, so I'd like to see us maybe go look more to things that are going to bring in some revenue.
Nice talk. Barbara?
Everything. That's all I can see. The economic development is so important, and we have to really focus on getting the financing for the Lodge and Conference Center. So that means economic development in every other area that we can possibly get it.
Okay. Jeff?
So I agree with everything that's been said already with the potential I don't know if it's a shift or it's an augmentation of that discussion in. I think the way for us to identify what those long-range goals are, what the maintenance needs are, what the income sources are, what the capital projects are going to be doing by long-range budget forecasting. So we're coming to tonight and seeing that we've got an issue that's going to happen almost immediately in July. Yeah, it's not a comfortable spot for me to be in at the moment. Mm-hmm. So if we did do projections of a year, 2 years, 5 years, maybe 10 years, I don't know what the parameters are for that, and that's probably a workload staff and an element of staff's workload that is obviously not there at the moment. However, does that provide the budgeting for long range that gets us the, okay, this year we can spend X number of dollars on deferred maintenance. We can do X number of capital projects. It's a tool that I think needs to be discussed in order to move forward with keeping us an economically vital city. So going towards the discussion of income producing, we had talked about potentially discussion of the medical marijuana initiative. So after July 1st, is that something we put in here, or realizing that's also not on staff's plate right now? And do I identify an item that comes off, or do we just put it on and leave it there? I don't know where that goes. And then we were just talking in the last items about the general plan element updates and where those fit into all of this. So that's kind of the framework of my thoughts on that. So okay. I don't know if I'm ready to dive down into the specifics, kind of without that general framework.
Okay. So maybe we can simplify it. There are six goals. Are we good with the six goals, keeping them, the economic development, economic vitality, because I think that goes to the heart of the income producing, the diversifying the economy. So don't know if we need to change that goal. I think that goal reads fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then streets, transportation, infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a high priority.
Yeah.
Water.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think that's still good. Public safety.
Yep.
I think. Okay. Community development and housing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then park, recreation, and beautification. So I think the goals are still valid, and I think, and so, and do we like the order they're stated in? I think they actually do somewhat reflect the priority, even though we won't acknowledge it. So I think the next step really becomes going line by line, and I don't know if we're prepared to do that tonight, because it looks like all the tasks that are under number one have all, with the exception, I can't put my finger on the streamlining the development review process, but everything else seems to be close or done. Correct? Mr.
Yes,
Coffey?
They are close or nearly being done. Some of these, for example, obviously the Glover Beach Lodge and Conference Center facilitation is an ongoing process. So some of them are an ongoing that needs to be done. We do have the street rehabilitation, so that can come off because that's been done. We actually moved into the second bond sale. The El Camino Real Hotel is still an ongoing process. It may be under shovel by July, so it may not need to be on here, but it still is something that will need to be facilitated throughout the year.
But basically, all the permits are issued, if I understand correctly, and so now it's just a matter of the private company that is mm-hmm. moving this going forward with this project. So then that just means building inspections.
Correct.
Along the way. So I would say from a standpoint of and from a standpoint of the city staff for helping facilitate, I think that's been accomplished and actually done very well done. Where are we with broadband network?
So I've actually had email discussions with Tim Williams on Friday. He was supposed to send me the new information on Friday. I'm still waiting. The next step is to go out to request for proposal.
with that new information from Tim. And we also still need to do a minor agreement because they changed the name on the stuff. But okay. It's still a matter of once we get the info, we've been waiting for him to get us that information. So that, you know, we probably would get the request for proposal out probably within a few weeks once we get his information. And then it's just a matter of seeing when that, and then construction could be under the way in the next year. But it still needs to be a priority and a decision made on the final funding once we get the engineering costs and the construction costs.
Okay, so you say 75%, 80% done?
Well, nothing's been done, actually, other than the background work on it. So once we get the, we still need to put together the information, and then it's just a matter of putting out. So it is a very important project. Okay. I don't think that's a huge staff project as much as, say, like the lodge is, but it's still definitely important to keep on radar.
And then how about the financial system?
That's actually in process of being implemented, so we'll continue to do it. It's there partway through, of course. We spread that out over 3 years based on, you know, so we can spread the funding out, and it takes time to upgrade the modules. But that
it's funded, it's moving forward,
right.
And if we were to pull the plug on it, we're so far down the road, it doesn't make sense to pull it off.
It doesn't need to be listed on this, no.
Right, exactly. So that gets to your question. I think now we talk about deleting 950 El Camino, deleting the installation of a financial system, and are there other, now we talk about, can we add some things to the list? And I think, Karen, your point is well taken regarding the vacation rentals.
And just to clarify, by taking them off the list, that doesn't say we're not doing them. I think that's what you're indicating. It's, well, they've got enough momentum to finish.
Well, I would say there's some work on the hotel, but that's gone through the permitting process, and it's entitled, and it's just a matter of inspections, and we have staff that I'm hoping is in place to be able to do that for the most part. I know there is some unique things to this project, in particular the half a mile long water line, but I'm not saying stop working on them. I'm just saying they're at a point, I think, where they've got enough, like you said, enough momentum. So that's just a thought.
I heard pull the plug, and I wanted to make sure
that I could pull the plug.
Going into normal staffing.
It's like the old go-kart, right? You're going downhill. We've been pushing it, and if we let go, it'll keep going and go across the finish line. That's the analogy I'm relying on. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I like it.
Okay.
Going to the vacation rental idea, I was at the Visit Slow meeting in December. Now we only have two meetings a year to be updated, but they did mention, because now different cities within the county have kind of made their own different approaches, and it's getting a little confusing, and they were going to attempt now as our tourism body to kind of bring everybody together and get some sort of countywide something going. So I'm not sure where they are on that, but that might be a good place to start, and maybe they've already done quite a bit of the legwork, maybe.
So quick question towards that. Does that mean that Grover Beach, which doesn't have a vacation rental ordinance, would now have basically an umbrella percent that would be applied to if someone was an Airbnb or a VRBO or something, and that money would come back to the city, or would go to the tourism board?
No, just there was no talk of money going to the tourism board, but just how each city would govern those funds and collect those funds. And
We might be able to utilize the work that they're doing.
So we don't have to maybe reinvent the wheel depending on how far they are in the process.
Okay. So that might be helpful to
start. Let's find out. Maybe someone can find out where they are. So that, and then you had mentioned
Medical marijuana initiatives, mm-hmm. and then the general plan element updates.
Okay, so we'll figure out where that one goes.
Right. I think they were both going to be under community development and housing, so in their own fashion. I mean, I would see medical marijuana as a community development issue, whether it's a zoning overlay or unless we want to put it under economic vitality.
Well, that's what we were hoping it to be.
Yes.
Yeah, if we had that conversation. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So you're thinking under community.
That was the logical place for me to put it as I was going through the notes over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm doesn't have to stay there.
Sorry. Okay. So then, under the second goal, which is streets, looks like the implementation of Oak Park Boulevard restoration. So it looks like we've made significant progress on the street rehabilitation program, short-term and long-term. The Oak Park Boulevard restoration project is moving, and I think we've got sufficient resources to complete that project. And place to complete that project, right, City Manager?
It's up to the council. It's going to be worked on. It's been approved, and it's we've got the project moving right along. So it will be starting here relatively soon, and we'll continue into next fiscal year. But as far as it being a goal for work program, it is one of those things that the go-kart is moving along.
Okay.
It's made it to the go-kart stage.
I think it's a good analogy.
Sounds like a great fundraiser at some point down in the park.
Oh, shoot.
Just find the right spot to start from.
Train station expansion, I know that's underway. And do we foresee having the resources to complete that project?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So then we need to talk about this downtown parking. We had put that on there, but I don't think we've made much progress on that, correct?
Not to my knowledge. It's kind of sat there.
And I think the discussion for putting it on here, if I recall last time, was we had funded effectively a rate study for what it would cost to reactivate those zones of benefit. That's not the right term.
It's if I might say, it is for the assessment district at
assessment
Ramona
district,
Square.
Yeah.
I think it is, it's, there's still a plan to get a study done on that. And we'll have to come back to council for obviously approval or any funding, or it's still a project that if council wishes to keep on there, it's something we'll have to come back to council for further direction based on that study for an assessment process or the funding for it.
And remind me, did we fund this at $25,000 for the study, or did we do the actual estimated cost for the improvements to the parking lot?
No, it was just for the study. It was $25,000 just for the study.
Okay. Okay.
That was $25,000.
$25,000, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then there's the update the sewer master plan, and this is an interesting one, Karen, in line with your philosophy. It was brought to my attention that we did a general plan amendment, we did a zone change in the area near Man Rock and along El Camino Real, and we didn't necessarily look at updating the master plans for sewer and water. And so it seems to me that if there's a way to do that in a cost-effective manner, that it will identify any deficiencies in those lines that could remove impediments to those areas being improved. I know that I had been contacted by a previous individual who was looking at a potential retail hotel project there, and that seemed to be one of the items that was needed to be cleared up to spur private investment. So it sounds to me that we probably should look at updating the sewer master and water plans, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's something maybe staff can report back on to us.
Yeah, we probably should come back, because there's obviously been talked about a number of the plans that need to be updated, and I had a brilliant idea of combining them all at once, but we'll see if that could even be done.
Okay. And
see if somebody could even do that and what the cost would be, and it's something we might be able to bring back at the budget time if it's still a priority in the goals.
Okay. And then I'm looking at this developer comprehensive sidewalk improvement program. I know we had budgeted, what, $200,000 in the last fiscal year for that. Do we know? Clearly, we're not going to expend that amount. Do we? So we'll have a look and see what is remaining for this fiscal year.
We will. It really is going to come down to where we need it if we're in the street projects. So if we have money to spend and a street needs to have that done at the same time, that's the best time to do it, obviously. And so I don't know what will be remaining at the end of the year or yet what should be predicted for next year for the streets that are being projected to be done.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I look out, I mean, North 13th, we talked about extending sidewalks on the west side of the street, but anything else we're going to be considering 2016, one street, which is Newport and Long Branch, will fall into the next fiscal year. So obviously I'm looking at that as we budgeted monies that we're not going to utilize for this by the end of this fiscal year, and the question becomes, is there a better use for that money when we're talking about deferred maintenance on city facilities and things of that nature? We need to figure out, is that money restricted or is there flexibility with those funds?
I will have to find that out and get back to you on that, what's left and what the restrictions are.
Okay. Yeah, can you do that? Because I know we all want to do sidewalks, but we want to do it in a managed way. And if we do have some facilities or needs that aren't being met, and let me just say for the record to every member on this staff that I think I can speak clearly for everyone on this council, we want to make sure that you have the tools, the resources to do your job, to do your core functions. Because we've always talked about doing a core function and then building from that out. So I can't begin to say how, I'm not going to say surprised, somewhat disappointed to hear that there were some very basic items that had not been received by this council for our consideration. I think we are all reasonable, rational people, and we want the staff to realize that we're not just talking about building a beachfront lodge and a conference and all the other things when we have some basic needs. And so we want to have that we welcome having that conversation. So that's why I'm saying, if we definitely want to do sidewalk, but if we need to move that money elsewhere to meet some basic needs, we need to have that conversation.
I had a question about that $200,000. Is that a one-time, or is that supposed to be yearly? I mean, is that whole duration?
I believe that was part of the direction to develop a plan that would be every year. Now, I don't know if $200,000 was just a windfall situation, and if we need to reduce that amount to whether it's $50,000 a year, I think that's a conversation we need to have.
Because, you know, one thing that I had really wanted to do as we were redoing each street is kind of what we did with 13th, is just take a hard look and say, oh, there's just really two places where we could connect this and finish it. I know, for example, on Atlantic City, almost the entire street is done except in front of one house, you know, like, and obviously we're not working on Atlantic City now, but if the funds are there, we're working on Saratoga, like maybe we should at least look, are there any gaps so that maybe a goal could be of getting a consistent sidewalk at least on one side if possible.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, a long time ago when we considered funding on Saratoga, there were some residents who stepped up and said, if we pay to install our sidewalk, will you do fix our street? And they move right to the top of the list. So I think that's kind of the discussion we need to have. If we got everything done except for one lot, who owns that lot, and is that something that we want to? I mean, I see where you're going, but maybe that's a discussion with all of the property owners on the street when we're coming into that street. Karen.
I'm wondering, too, if we shouldn't discuss having some kind of an equipment replacement fund.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know the city manager is talking about our maintenance people driving around in vehicles that are way old and so on. And so I'm thinking maybe we should look to that and maybe even a facility rehab fund or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Where the money's going to come from, I don't know. But
well, but I think you...
Part of the budget discussion.
Well, it's part of this. I think that's some direction we can give staff is to... we're talking about equipment replacement, but then facilities maintenance plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason we've obviously gotten to this point is we don't have a plan, and we're not going to do them all at once, so we're not going to take on $1 million deficit. So we really need to assess these buildings, starting with this building, tell you know the truth. This is a people's building. And in the past, I know folks wouldn't make the comment about you fixed the staff's building and nothing else, and this is the people's building. So we need to do that and assess where they are, what levels are they, with levels of deterioration and level of maintenance, and if we can do it in a phased approach. Mr. Compson.
And I want to mention, too, we do have actually in place and funding for a facilities study, and we're going to be putting that together hopefully soon. It's just a matter of getting it done. Then we'll have that way we can actually then know what needs to be done first before last.
Okay. So to move us on, then we would like to revisit this comprehensive sidewalk improvement program. I think we'd like it, but maybe the funding level is not sustainable. And let's figure out if that's the case, then we can move the funds elsewhere.
Yes, sir.
So I think with streets, are we good with that direction for now?
I think I'm good with that direction with one other added item that just popped back into my head. And maybe this is part of the rehab program, but we've talked about having a moratorium or some level of discussion about not cutting into the streets having either an ordinance or a policy or something. So I don't know if that needs to get added into here. But we haven't seen it come forward, so maybe that's a good reminder, placeholder spot for it.
It should be memorialized.
Okay, so then maybe we need to, I think we've got streets, we have our streets identified through, 2016-1, so we really do need to talk about what's 2016-2 or 2017-1, so at some point we got to lay that out and then have that discussion.
Right.
Okay.
And yet we're about to have 12 or 15 streets, and then along with the light maintenance program is going to have a number of streets that are all of a sudden going to be in really good shape, and someone's going to want to repair a water line or a sewer line or a data line, and we need to be able to address that, I think.
Okay. So then I'd say let's move the water. I'd say the tasks that are under here, I don't foresee any change, and I think city manager talked about potentially combining water and the sewer master plans, right? Okay. But I don't see adding anything or taking anything off this list per se.
Do we put reclaimed water into here? Discussion. We as a city don't have a reclaimed water project. So do we identify that as an objective? I mean, it's not really a goal. We can't have a goal of having a reclaimed water project. But is that an objective to participate in a regional project, and is that something that needs to be on here at the moment?
Could that not be part of the long-term water master plan?
I agree with that.
Yep. Good point.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a good choice, because I think actually we have direction already from council to continue to look at water sources and water needs, and we will continue to do that.
Okay. Public safety. Are we okay with what's there? Do we want to add anything here?
Mr. Mayor, I think the council, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief Peters, but I think the first item on their increased sworn personnel in 19 has already been authorized by council, so that can come off.
Okay. So do we put homeless, the transient? I'm trying to figure out where do we put it when we talked about the foot patrols, or we've been hearing from businesses lately that while we've made some improvements, there still continues to be some concerns. And I know that in the past we had done it strictly through
over time. So I don't know if that would be something we should at least put in here as, and just as a goal or something we want to work toward.
To like increase presence or.
Yeah.
Something other than continue to enforce current laws, you want to.
Oh, that's true. So I'm looking at the three items with the arrows, but then under the discussion of status, it looks like you've had that. We've talked about to continue to enforce laws regarding transient population issues to protect the well-being of the community.
Yeah.
So we need to just maybe amplify that. I think it's there, but it's not in the three primary tasks under that goal.
One question I have on that, I know the bike patrols and foot patrols, I think the main purpose of them is dealing with vagrancy and transient issues. And just from a cost perspective, all of the overtime that takes, would it ever make sense for us to hire a full-time or a part-time officer that just deals with homelessness issues like they have in SLO, as opposed to all that overtime? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you a fully burdened officer is probably around, from last year, about $150,000 and $120,000. And I think we're putting in about $15,000 to $20,000 in overtime. So, you know, quite a bit difference. I know, yeah. Chief Peters is working currently. Maybe this can be something, you know, further discussions as he's looking at partnering with a school district for a school resource officer, and potentially we could incorporate some of those duties if we were to get a position, or maybe authorize the additional funding or something like that that might be part of that. That would not only assist in the budget, but maybe assist in staffing that. And then I had a thought, maybe a goal might be something similar to increased presence in the downtown corridor and surrounding areas through increased patrols, and then,
yeah.
Then they would.
Perfect. That's good wording.
Mm-hmm. Handling that either through overtime or bike patrol or whatever.
So then let's do this: keep the continue to enforce laws regarding transient population issues to protect well-being of the community. I think everything down here is valid and good. I mean, maybe we need to have just a follow-up report. A report. You know, one thing we don't do very well is we put together a program and then it starts going and then there's never let's take a look at it and see how it's working, what's good and what are the deltas. I think this is where we talked about if we're paying all this money for overtime to do this, then we need to figure out what's a better way to do it. Is it better to do it as a pilot program and say we're only going to do it for so many months and we're going to take a different approach? I mean, but we look for the experts. Chief Peters is here to tell us what that looks like. But I think we know it's important to the community. It's important to the businesses. We need to continue having those conversations. So I think if we keep this, and then the wording you suggested, I think is good, Jim.
And then I will ensure that we get that report to you as soon as we can.
Okay.
So it can assist with us.
So then community development. The sign ordinance.
That sign ordinance has been on there, I think, for as long as I've been here. Oh, boy. That's a big undertaking, I know.
It's a big undertaking, but I know there's locations. Atascadero is the one that jumps to mind where they actually put a lot of effort into it and are seeing results. So there is a benefit.
Certainly. Oh, absolutely.
To do it, but I don't know if the amount of effort that Atascadero put into it, do we have that same level mm-hmm. of resources to be able to tackle
okay.
that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a need.
And yeah. Council members, what would be the focus? Because we can potentially maybe focus our efforts on an area that is of particular concern. Because my recollection on this issue is that there were many things that council was looking to have addressed through the amendments to the sign ordinance. So perhaps if staff could be directed in a particular direction.
Something just came to my attention the other day, and I think it's a minor thing, but it's a consistency issue for sure. A lot of our numbered streets signs, some are spelled out 8th and some are 8th, and it's just kind of random. It doesn't follow block after block after block, and it's all throughout the city. Now, do we want to take the time and effort and money to replace something like that, as long as they're all, say, the 8th or 5th or whatever?
That's crazy.
Anyway, yeah, let's just try with brainstorming. What do you got?
The one that hops to mind for me, and I'm not having read the sign ordinance recently, my first inclination is let's enforce our sign ordinance. But I don't know if saying that is the right thing to do because I don't know what it says. However, I think the consistency of the big wavy flags and, mm-hmm. and all of those are.
What do you call those? Are those like arrow signs or? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, banner signs or some level of the sandwich board signs. I think there's an inconsistency with how square footage is calculated, not by staff, but by people putting up the signs. Mm-hmm. Lots of banners around town where a permanent sign would be more appropriately located. So consistency and enforceability and again, it may just be a rethinking of what the square footage allowable is. Mm-hmm. So.
Any thoughts to my left?
And perhaps agendizing, and then in English that would be agendizing, an item for a little more in-depth discussion would be something that the council would wish to consider.
Okay.
And potentially maybe after the... we have a new city manager on board who could be included in that conversation. But there have been tensions, I will say, between being business friendly and enforcing the sign ordinance in the city. So those tensions, I assume, will continue to exist. And that's why maybe sitting down and having a discussion on these issues would be beneficial for everybody.
So then why don't we do this? So I think it sounds like we're okay with everything that's on here, but, and then staff, given your status report, looks like you were going to come back in June of this year with an update on proposed amendments, correct? Okay.
Oh. And as he's coming forward to answer that question, I like what the city attorney said with the tensions coming forward and saying there is a tension between being business friendly and being visually overstimulating for people trying to drive down the street.
Well, yeah, put it in a not so politically correct way, there's a difference between being business friendly and having sign clutter and pollution. So I think we are teetering.
We are.
Mr. Buckingham.
I just want to clarify. First of all, we're going to promote Martin to the planning department, so he can help me out.
That would be a promotion?
it would be.
Apparently.
Yes, it would be.
The plan, it is tentatively agendized for June, is for staff to come forward with just an outline of exactly what you're talking about, and that is what we're going to focus on. Because I really think, and you've kind of just reconfirmed it, it's really more of a focus on temporary signage and surgical cleanup rather than it is just gutting it and starting over. Mm-hmm. So we are really trying to limit the scope and focus it on the things that I think I've heard in the years that I've been here. So that will be coming to you in June as just the first... for the council to weigh in on the direction we're going.
The only other thing I would raise is, I think you're right, a lot of that is temporary signs. It's the banners on the buildings. Yeah. It is the arrow signs. It is off-site signs.
Yep, live signs, all the things that we're seeing.
And then we do need to address the issue of directional signage, because when I went and fought about it with Caltrans many, many years ago to get the two signs on the freeway, one of the requirements they said to us was, you need to get directional signage once people come off of the freeway, and we don't have that. And I mean, it's as simple as if you go to a Atascadero, you get off, one of the off ramps. It has a city logo, the city color, and it says downtown that way, and you know the park pavilion that way, right? I think that's a simple thing to do, quite honestly, but it just costs money.
That, you know, the council has talked, and there is a policy in the land use element about producing a wayfinding signage program. I would say that that's outside of the sign ordinance. This is regulating okay. private businesses versus really a city marketing and...
Well, then let's have that conversation when you come forward, because I don't want to get into a big marketing program. I just want to simplify this, as Martin tried to go when he made that suggestion. As Barbara mentioned, inconsistency in signage. I mean, do we have an adopted font, adopted colors? You know, we got a bunch of signs either at the near the train station, 4th Street, and we have a bunch of signs at parks that are inconsistent. There's a reason why we still have these cardboard placards out here. You know, I think when the last time I was on the council, that issue came up, and the council majority said, well, we're not interested in improving any more signs if we're going to keep doing inconsistent designs. And yet here we are with a city hall with no signage, no letters on the building. For good thing the firefighters know where we are. Anyway, not yet I digress. Just bring back that in the report. So I would just say for us, thank you, Bruce. I would just say for us, everything remains, but I think, Karen, based on your comment about the vacation rental ordinance, rather than deferring, we do want to elevate that and start that discussion. Correct? Is that?
Could I ask a question about the parking standard?
No.
Is this just amount? This is amount of parking per building?
It's probably going to be a combination of amount of parking per building or per use. And I think there may be some opportunities to be a little more creative. And, you know, I know City of Santa Maria, they have the original city was like a four-block area downtown. And so to try and encourage investment, they were creatively counting parking, whether they were using on-street spaces or if they were close enough to a parking structure. So I think those are kind of some of the discussions that we need to have and have been raised by property owners along Grand Avenue. Mr. Cusack comes to mind, who owns the building on 7th and Grand.
Because one thing I was reading, looking at a, I won't say reading, I don't read a whole book, but just looking at a few pages of the Grover Beach history book, and you know, people are always complaining about how fast everyone's going on Grand Avenue and no one can see their businesses. And I noticed that we used to have this really cozy diagonal parking, which would slow everybody down. And then we got rid of it, and now, like, everyone's going by the businesses way too fast. And I just wonder, is there anywhere where we can, like, add some of that back in? Everyone's got a backup camera now.
Huh. We've,
We did a plan. And we had all kinds of meetings, and that was part of our plan, to have diagonal parking, and our residents lost their minds, and it just never flew, unfortunately.
So...
In a nutshell.
And I mean, maybe that was something we should have talked under safety, right? The issue, because I keep getting a lot of calls now. We had the fatality on 4th Street, North 4th. We know that when Oak Park is this beautiful, smooth street, people are going to come racing down the hill. You know, we put what we felt were traffic calming islands downtown. So I think at some point we need to have a meeting or a session on traffic safety and traffic calming, and what can we do to increase safety of this community? Because on the one hand, we're fixing streets. On the other hand, we know speeds are going to go up, and now we got to figure out how do we address them. And so the city manager and I recently had a conversation about that, and about surveys and being able to use radars, and, you know, maybe it's time for us to figure out, is there another step we can take? Because I think we continue to get those kind of complaints or comments from folks who live in the community.
Grand Avenue doesn't even have any painted parking slots anymore. You just, you know, pull in wherever, and if you want to park 3 feet behind the car in front of you, and somebody else wants to squeeze in. It's an issue, I think, in a few blocks in the center.
Good point. Good point.
I'm going to be talking about that later, anyway.
All right.
Under council communication, so.
Park and Recreation. So I think this, I don't know if there's any changes here, I think this also falls into that whole discussion about facilities maintenance plans, because that would be a whole level under park facilities, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Looks like it to me.
Yeah, one thing I would say about that is the mayor and I actually were at a meeting and noticed some things, you know, deteriorating already at Ramona Center, which is, by comparison, a pretty new building. And one thing we've talked about back and forth a few times is the rock structure in Ramona Park. And I just don't like that thing. It is so dangerous for kids. All my kids want to do is climb on it and fall in sludgy water and break their teeth.
That sounds like fun, Mom.
Well, they beg to go down there. And now that there's going to be playground equipment there, man, just...
So you're talking about the water treatment?
Yeah, the stream that is now empty and just filled with algae and tadpoles.
Boy, I mean, that water feature, the kids love it.
They
love it.
Yes, so, but
and
I'm
going
know.
To have rock climbing equipment and the new equipment at the park. Yeah.
So see.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's an empty waterfall filled with green stuff.
All right. So I think at the end of the day, city manager, we're going to keep the goals and keep them as numbered. And I think it's sort of an informal prioritization. We're going to obviously delete some items on economic development. And I think we didn't get back to the discussion, Jeff, of where you felt vacation rental ordinance, the issue of cannabis falls in this discussion.
Maybe we should wait for the new city manager.
Oh, yeah. So I think you're right. Let's put it under the community development. Because you're saying it is more of a initially a land use discussion, correct?
Yeah.
I think we can start there, I think. And then we have the general plan element updates as well.
Yeah, that's a natural. That's where they would go. You're right. Okay.
Then, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned on public safety for traffic safety.
Yes.
Did you have language or something you were looking for on that, the council was looking for?
I think I'm thinking is, do we, I don't want to just say have a workshop, I think work, that just, you know, so maybe it's really, do we need to explore ways to I was going to say start on traffic, but really we need to look at the best practices from a standpoint of safety measures, and that could be intersections, speeds on streets, and then we could think of, you know, ways to potentially address those items. Yeah, City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, and if I would recommend, if I can recommend, framing the task in or perhaps in a manner that would direct staff with council's future direction to evaluate whether or not the newly rebuilt streets and the K-14 program creates any potential concerns, and proceed from a blank slate rather than than an assumption.
So then let's say we evaluate those, but we also want to evaluate some of the existing Grand Avenue, 4th Street.
Absolutely.
As well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, all of the streets and the effects that would all have.
Okay. I think that works.
Good.
Everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else? I think we got everything, right?
The only other potential item was the long-range forecasting for financial. I don't know if that goes into here or just as a direction.
Well, I think that needs to be part of the economic development strategy because we are going out to I think we just approved hiring someone to do that.
Right.
So that could be a natural that goes on the economic development, the forecasting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We did.
So pick it up.
I'm not sure who for.
Did we not? I thought that was on the agenda tonight.
The consent. The consent. Calendar. Was that BEU?
Oh, that's the economic development strategy, not like a 5 or 10 year financial plan for the city. I think is that.
I guess that's where I was going.
Okay.
The kind of a then, kind of internal forecasting.
Right. So I think like what Jeff was talking about was more of a like a 10 year plan for financial status or financial outlook for the city, forecasting what's mm-hmm. new. So that's what I heard. And then economic development strategy is different than.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to combine the two. I was being lazy.
I mean, I don't know. I think is that just something we give staff direction to do with the budgeting process? I think that's probably.
That might be more appropriate.
Might be more appropriate. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're going to come back with this, and then we'll have another chance.
So the next slide is we will draft what we've talked about tonight for the Goals and Work Program for FY17 and bring it back at the next council meeting for further input from the public and city council. And with that, we'll be happy to answer any further questions.
Very good. I think we're done here, right? I mean, you feel like you have sufficient direction?
Good for next council meeting.
All right, let's move on. We don't have any pool consent agenda items. How about committee reports? Karen, you have anything?
No, I've got APCD on Wednesday.
Excellent. Miriam, you have anything?
Yeah, because we've held them a couple times. From the Housing Trust Fund, back in February, we had our yearly retreat where we tried to set goals for the year. It was very useful, but it kind of came down to, well, we can set all the goals we want for affordable housing, but it's kind of that magical formula has to come together of funding and people willing to take on the project and space. So our goals remain somewhat the same, and we decided to kind of push ahead. Then I actually had another Housing Trust Fund meeting since that time, which I had to miss, and I don't have an alternate. We're not allowed alternates on there. So, but they had a quorum, so it was no big deal. Then I had an HSOC meeting, Homeless Services Oversight Committee, and we had a very interesting presentation from Mayor Steve Martin of Paso. It's very rare in this homelessness gig that someone comes with an actual solution of something that could happen. And I know John already knows about it because he shared it with all the mayors at the mayor's meeting. But he's asking the state. There is a somewhat abandoned or non-utilized youth camp near Paso area, and it's apparently costing the state $1 million a year just to maintain it. So he is sending a letter asking the state, well, what if we, you know, opened up this area, finally had a place to park all those tiny homes that people keep telling me to build, and have an entire place where people can get services and get housed and utilize a facility that's just sitting vacant. So aside from looking for signatures from mayors for his letter, he's also, any of us council people who would sign on to that idea should feel free to contact him as well. So that was exciting to me. We also had a presentation from Ann Wyatt of the Home Share group, and she's going to be coming and presenting to us in the future. Within HSOC, the housing committee thought it'd be a good idea to develop a housing presentation that can be taken around. So she kind of presented that to us, and it was pretty interesting, and just had a bunch of new ideas about housing. The millennials, it turns out, are very minimalist, and they don't want these big spaces and big houses. So we may be able to soon house, you know, more people with less, and people be quite happy with that. So it's kind of interesting. So I think that was about it. Also, Mayor Steve Martin gave an update because they had a similar issue as we did with homeless encampments in Paso, and they had a bunch of people in the Salinas riverbed, which is dangerous. They've actually, someone's been killed being there, so they did have to go and kind of do similar things that we had to do in Grover and you know, did it in the most efficient way that they could and humane way that they could. They actually set aside funds for anyone who needed to come to City Hall and get temporary housing, and they were unused. People didn't. So that was interesting. Again, there's a lot of disconnect with that community of folks that we need to bridge to know what to do, because some of the things we're offering obviously aren't useful. So, and I think that was about it.
So. Great. Barbara?
I'm going to piggyback on Marion's a little bit. I happen to know one of the people that was involved in the clearing of the encampments in the riverbed. And he also runs a warming center. And so he knows how many people came out of the riverbed and how few used the vouchers for housing and how few used the warming centers. And he said, I don't know where they are. They're not back in the riverbed as of yet. But they just don't want services.
Wow.
And I will piggyback with her on the home share program. I went to a meeting in Morro Bay last week. Home Share SLO is an actual entity. They have a grant application into the Community Foundation for startup funds. They have a nonprofit who is going to do the funding, the bookkeeping, the collecting of rents, the whole nine yards of it for a small fee percentage of the income. And they're very much looking forward to coming down here to have a meeting with us in May, and hope to get the same thing started in South County as well.
Great.
The South County Transit meeting has been postponed due to the medical issues with the RTA guy that runs the whole show. I don't know what he did, but he hurt his neck and had surgery. So, but we do finally have a new logo after almost 8 years of trying to get a new logo. And the timing will, that will be revealed in May, and the timing will coincide with the new routes that are going to be done through Oceano and connecting with Walmart and that sort of thing to streamline what is out there now. Nothing new at RAC. At CAPSLO, I had a director's training morning. I did not know that we had a medical center in AG that is run by CAPSLO. It has a teen center that is fantastically successful. We went to a Head Start program in Napomo, which has got to be a poster child for the whole Head Start. The facility was a large church in the area of the new high school. Mm-hmm. And the family that owned it gave it the acreage and the building to Capslow for homes for Head Start, and it is wonderful. The most impressive thing was watching their energy people working on a house kitty corner across the intersection from us, as where we sit. The family had complained about having an awful lot of headaches, everybody in the household. Wow. The animals were not acting right. The flue for their wall heater was so rotted and out and rusted out that nothing was going outside. It was all being held inside. After they got that under control as much as they could at that time, they checked the water heater, which was leaking and needed total replacement of the water heater itself and the flooring underneath it. And they said, well, there's more gas in here than what this was, right? So they checked the oven, and the oven was also had a gas leak in it. And when the crew left, they said, I hope we've done enough that you'll stay alive until we can get back here on Monday morning.
What?
And that, I mean, that's right in our backyard, and it just blew my mind. But they do wonderful stuff. They really do. And that's it.
That's it. Mr. Lee.
That's going to be a tough one to follow. But I'll start it off with the Coastal Regional Sediment Management Group.
What?
That sounds really exciting.
Oh, my, was it?
Drop the mic. Boom.
So it's a... probably the best way to put it is it's a plan to develop a plan to develop a plan. And it's going to be considered at the SLOCOG board meeting on April 6th.
Well, thanks for that heads up. I appreciate
that. Thank you for taking that committee.
So it's an interesting subject that is full of sediment. And I'll leave it at that. So then I'll jump over to
nice. Nice.
To zone three.
Great zone, report.
Thanks. So zone three, just a couple updates. The climate is not getting any better. The reservoir with all of the rain, we've actually had 18 inches of rain since July of last year, or which is the kind of the reporting period for water. We've had 18 inches of rain. The reservoir has come up 9 inches. So realizing that we are still well below the 15,000 level, there is a really distinct possibility that we will pass through the next level of the low reservoir response plan, which is 10,000 acre feet in there sometime this summer. So conservation is still an active discussion, but we all know that's not a long-term solution. So a couple things, obviously the reclamation projects are going to be continually discussed. The Board of Supervisors tomorrow is having an update on the Diablo desalination project. Having glanced at the recommendation, they're recommending that the environmental work commence with a funding from the flood control general reserves, and then that will then provide additional monetary requirements by the participants with regards to how that gets funded for construction. There is where's the grant? The Stormwater Resources Plans grant. There was, if you recall from our last discussion, non-specific district reserves that were in place before the Zone 3 reserves were actually established, and those were not gaining any interest, not gaining any, not doing anything. There was some discussion about they could be either given back or acclimated back into another program if they were not earmarked for discussion. And so we did use that as the defined planning match of 50% for the Stormwater Resource Plans grant, which the that's going to, again, allow us as a city and as a region to be able to get more grants for stormwater resource grants through the state. The declaration of surplus water is also coming as well. And I believe that's sometime later in April, maybe early May. But I know Greg, as our technical advisory committee representative, is well aware of that. Currently we're at a 10% reduction of our flows from Zone 3. There are some surplus waters, and realizing surplus water is just a contract name. It's not actually surplus water. It's just water that wasn't used in this calendar year. So there is a couple hundred acre feet available for Grover for that. So that's about the agenda items for Zone 3. So if I go over to the Integrated Waste Management Authority, a couple different items there. There's a series of grant applications. The budget for the IWA is very solid, very strong, and so they are moving forward with grant applications for, again, used oil, used waste, and buyback centers. The buyback centers discussion is an anomaly of the state funding. Is if you saw in the news a couple of weeks ago, the buyback centers, their source of funding from the state was almost two-thirds reduced. Sometime around May or June, that's going to come. That funding source is going to come back from the state, is anticipated. So the buyback centers may then find it profitable again to reopen. So those buyback centers for CRV and cans and bottles may reopen. We did have a performance evaluation of the general manager, and as has been consistent with past findings, he's doing a great job. Very well respected in the field, well respected in the nation as well as the internationally, and so we've got a very good person to keep running forward with that. Not that he has plans to retire, but we did talk about succession planning and staff resources. So I think that committee and that organization is in good hands. So EVC this coming Wednesday, and I think that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. So let's see. Five Cities Fire Authority, the meeting on March 18th was canceled for lack of items. You all know that at our last council meeting, Fire Chief Lieberman came in and gave a mid-year budget report. So the things that we're going to be focusing on right now are putting together the five-year strategic plan. And so I am on a subcommittee or group that will be working on that on April 20th and the 21st. And then the other thing, and I know he had mentioned it just briefly, is that now that we've been in operation for over 5 years, it's time to take a look at the Joint Powers Agreement and look and see where we can make amendments to that, and obviously see what if there are any fiscal or financial impacts with that. So I'm anticipating getting concurrence to bring that item back either on April 18th or maybe May 2nd, depending on the workload. So stay tuned. Regional Transit Authority, on March 2nd, we reviewed the fiscal year 2017 budget assumptions. Not a whole lot has changed other than the cost of fuel. So there was some savings in that, and they are going to apply it accordingly. We also looked at environmental exemption for a bus corporation yard, in which taking the buses in North County and putting them on city-owned property. So it's basically just be a dual function. We're working out an agreement with the city of Paso Robles. So that is moving forward. And then finally, there was some discussion regarding the RTA and the South County Transit Agreement. Maybe Barbara will have more information for us on that at another meeting. But I'm also thinking, Barbara, that perhaps we should talk to Jeff Straw or his second-in-command and have them come to the council and just do a presentation.
Yes.
I think that'd be a good thing for us to do. Slow cog, moving really quickly. Rhonda Carley will continue to tell you that there are zero state dollars to be programmed. We literally went from 12 to 15 million over the years to now $0 to be programmed. And so the net result of that is
the California Transportation Commission, which is the body that approves all of the regional transportation plans, all of the state improvement plans, had sent word that said, hey, this not only do you have $0 to program, your allocation is being reduced by $8 million. So now you have to revise the plan. So what is the net result of all that? At the last meeting, staff came forward and the board did approve Briscoe Road as being, well, let me just say, they asked the board to approve, and we did, the STIP funding commitment to the Arroyo Grande Briscoe Road interchange project. And the reason being is it's one of the few projects that has actually been developed far enough that you can actually use the money on an actual project as opposed to studies and whatnot. And so fear of losing more monies, they wanted to put that item out there to the CTC. So I haven't gotten word back on if that strategy worked or not. So when I find that, I'll let you know. The other thing is that we know that the issue of southbound 101 in Shell Beach, where we talk about the climbing lane, it continues to be problematic. It continues to be a priority of the board, and so we are trying to find creative ways to move that project forward sooner than later, and trying to do some horse trading on some other projects that have been in the queue but haven't been executed or implemented. So Frank Meacham, Supervisor Frank Meacham, who happens to obviously be the supervisor in North County, is in agreement with those of us who are South County reps. So the projection on that, the outlook on that is very positive. So we'll keep moving forward on that. I would be remiss if I didn't say that staff continues to have meetings with key stakeholders to discuss the prospects or see if there is interest in a sales tax measure to fund traffic improvements or transportation improvements, infrastructure improvements. I'll just say this from where I sit. I'm always agreeable to giving the public a voice and a vote, but I've said to them, and I'll just say it now, that I do not plan to or advocate to get out in front of any such measure. I think the folks in this community, every time we've asked them in 2006, they stepped up to the plate. In 2014, when the bond measure was put on, they stepped up to the plate. And I've told them that this community, we are somewhat fatigued with respect to that. And so I will not be getting out in front of this. And I know that there's going to be some discussion about if they were to go forward and ask business members, community members, are there quality of life projects that they can probably get behind? Is that extending the boardwalk from Grover Beach to Oceano? Is that more trails along Meadow Creek? Is that an allocation that comes to this community or this city for ongoing street maintenance? So so they're basically have an expenditure plan that I think ideas are being kicked around. I haven't seen it. Maybe the technical committees have had some of these conversations, but more to come. Stay tuned. And then finally, everyone's favorite subject, South County Sanitation District. We had a meeting on March 16th. I'm glad to announce that the board unanimously approved hiring Gerhard Huebner as district administrator. So based on all the reference checks that have been worked out, we have reached agreement conceptually on salaries and other items. That's coming back to us on the next board meeting for ratification and approval. So if everything goes well, we'll have a new district administrator. The other thing, the other action taken was the board did in fact authorize enter into a contract with Kennedy Jenks to start working design work on the $19 million redundancy project, because that there has been a change in regulations that requires that we have a redundant system out of that plant, which is something we don't have now. And so basically that contract was let, so the engineers will start doing some of the technical work, doing soil studies and things of that nature. But in addition to that, I was offered up, or no, I volunteered, to go and have a conversation with coastal staff in Santa Cruz to discuss the permitting. So we don't want to do too much work. And if we just want to make sure that coastal staff is aware of the project, they're comfortable moving forward with the project, and that we have a reasonable expectation that they will approve the permits for this project. And everything we've seen so far has been very positive. We just want to go and have that conversation. And then lastly, there's been the ongoing litigation, and I'm going to try and figure out how to say this and to continue to maintain and protect the district. One item is available to the public. There was a suit filed against it's the RMA, it's really the special district. It's an insurance fund or company that basically the suit was that they had a duty to defend, and I think that was brought up by Matt Guerrero, and what that would have meant, and the ruling came out against the district, and really what that would have meant was the insurance company would have paid some of the fees, paid for some of the legal fees, and then would have taken up or taken a more active role in proceeding with the suit against the state. And so basically the judge determined and looked at it from a regulatory standpoint and called it all penalties and fines. And so the board decided that we're not going to appeal that, because if that's where they're going, that's a determination that's been made. And so two completely separate actions. I will say, with respect to the suit that is ongoing regarding the regional and state water boards, we are at a point where there have been developments that require my travel to Sacramento, I'll just put it that way, because I can't really give you a whole lot more on that, but I'm optimistic, I'll just put it that way. Okay.
Could you just briefly tell the folks what the redundancy project is?
Yeah, so the redundancy project is when Greg might be able to tell you better than me, right? Come on up here, Greg. Let's leave him in the back.
Just when you say $19 million.
No, you're right. I was trying to be swift, but
you caught me. I was already retiring.
Not quick enough.
So the South Sand District has an active treatment process. It involves a number of different chambers. Each of them performs some process of separating the waste from the wastewater, et cetera. And so redundancy basically means if they're currently able to treat 110% maybe of the waste that's going to the plant now, they would need to be able to treat basically 200%, so that if something went wrong with one of their current processes, they'd simply be able to switch to the other side, which would be identical, and continue treating the same amount of waste, or if necessary, just for shutdown, yeah, cleaning, maintenance, that kind of thing. So,
okay. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
What he said. Thank you, Greg. So I think that's all I had to report on the South Sand District. And as you all know, it continues to be one of the top activities in the city of Rio Grande. All right. How about council communications? Anyone have anything?
Mary? I don't even remember. Whenever we declared the shelter crisis, one thing we asked of our nonprofits was that, you know, for next year, let's start planning the warming center earlier. And they heard us, and they're doing it. And there is a meeting about next year's warming center on March, I want to say it's 31st. Yes, March 31st at 3 p.m. It's going to be at the Pacific Christian Center at 207 Pilgrim Way in Rio Grande. And there has been a site suggested in Rio Grande, and Rio Grande is working them through the permitting process, and that, as we discussed, having better and more appropriate services so that people actually utilize them. This is a site that may potentially be able to house animals. You know, people don't want to leave their animals and come to a warming shelter. It may be a site where people could have some things and not have to leave all their things out in the woods because it has a little more space. So I don't want to say too much about it because I'm not sure. We're going to find out what the status is, but there's going to be a meeting, so we were heard.
Okay, good. Karen?
Thank you. Actually, I kind of have two things. One is about our new street on Brighton. Everyone's very happy about it, but whenever a discussion happens, there's always an issue. One is I heard from one of our neighbors that even though Brighton is not a truck route, now we have a lot of large trucks that are coming down Brighton, actually west on Brighton, and then south on 16th, I guess, to hit Grand Avenue.
Oh, wow.
So I guess it's a lot easier to go down a good street than it is to go down a bumpy street. So I don't know if there's anything anyone can do about that, but I said I would mention it.
It's not a truck route. We can post it, right?
It is posted.
Oh, oops.
It's posted as not a truck route. Then the other thing, I'm thinking this could probably, hopefully, be addressed when we look at the how the new streets affect the speeding or the safety and so on, because people have asked me about getting a speed limit sign on Brighton. People just, they speed like crazy. It's unbelievable. And then also, I know that Mr. Weissong has mentioned it a couple of times during his public comment, and then also about the pedestrian crossing at Oak Park and Brighton. And I'd like to address that. I know we've talked about it before, but you know, people are always asking, why do we not have a pedestrian crossing there? So maybe when we talk about how these streets are affecting the safety, we could maybe talk about not only that intersection, but others.
Agreed.
Thank you.
And City Manager, were you going to mention something about trucks on Brighton?
Well, it's not just Brighton. There's other areas that have been problems with trucks. It's just catching them. You know, trying to track them down where they're going. There, at times, trucks do have a right to go down residential streets if they're going to make deliveries, and so it is challenging to, you know, really find whether they're actually violating our truck route laws or not. But the chief is still here, so he'll definitely take a look at it. And Ms. Bright, if the neighbor would give him a call, or if you have the information, typically it's a good idea to know. If there's a habitual offender truck, and we know who that is, sometimes we can send them a letter, contact them, and let them know of the truck route laws, and keep them from doing it. So sometimes that's another way to do it.
Very good. I'll let them know.
So let them know, and they can contact the police department.
Thank you.
Excellent. Barbara?
Nothing.
Jeff?
I just had one item. It's more of a wondering if city staff was aware of it, but apparently there's something coming into the onto the beach this upcoming October called the Race of Gentlemen, or TROG, and I wasn't sure if there was an opportunity for cooperation from the city, or what if they've approached us with regards to how to how they're going to make that happen or not.
What's it called?
The Race of Gentlemen.
The Race.
Well, there's Ms. Pecker. Let's have her come up.
And all that, Ms. Pecker.
Yeah, I'm trying to say, let's see. Should Chief Peters come up tonight? Let's give them all something.
It's Mayor and City Council members. The Race of Gentlemen, we've been notified by State Parks as well as the organizers of the event that this is actually a really big event back east, and they want to bring it to the West Coast because basically it's replication of vehicles and motorcycles from the late 1800s, and they will actually be producing races on the beach. And it's paid participation. I'm not sure how they're going to, you know, control that, but they want to take over the entire beach. They're expecting thousands of visitors, They're requesting the cities to work with them to organize areas for shuttling visitors to the beach. So we're working with the chamber and also with State Park, so we're really looking forward to it, and they're very excited as well. It will bring a huge tourism draw to the beach area in Grover Beach, so we have a great opportunity to partner with them. And
okay.
Yeah.
Do you know the exact date yet? Or
I believe it's in October.
October 15th and 16th.
Yep.
Okay. According to the flyer.
Yep. Huh.
What's that?
It's a two-day flyer.
Two-day
flyer. And I might mention they're drag races, but their top speed is under 25, so yeah. It's not something to be concerned with.
Yeah, and I want to see them drag race in Pismo Beach. They'll get that cleaned up, too. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Okay. So, League of California Cities, Channel County's Division, dinner meeting, April 15th. If anyone's interested in going, let Donna know, correct? Okay. I won't cover the mayor's meeting because Mary Ann talked about that, and I will be letting Mayor Martin know that I will sign on to that proposal. I think it's really good for North County, even though we know that folks that they're targeting don't travel, but it's a start. Chief Peters, you haven't had the chance to speak tonight. In the encampment along Meadow Creek and Forth, you know, we had several neighbors come in and express concerns more than a month or so ago. Just anything to report on that?
Yes, we've been partnering with the Pismo Beach Police as well as State Parks and some of the coalition groups from the Homeless Coalition and Social Services have been down to the camp so far on two occasions and have offered services and made notifications to everybody down there that it's off limits. It's time to move on, and there's actually plans in place right now for an April cleanup and clean out of that area. So the State Parks is the lead agency because most of it affects their area. We do have some of the campsites in our jurisdiction as well. So it's a collective partnership that we're working on with the three agencies.
Okay, and any calls from that area? I know
we've had some calls, mainly disturbance calls, yelling and shouting, sounds of arguing or fighting back and forth, and the officers have investigated and made contact with people, but there's never been a crime that has been sustained or reported by the people involved down in that area.
And then had folks gone, had officers or folks from State Parks gone down and given people notices to remove their belongings?
Yes. Yes, on two different occasions, our officers have been in there along with the State Parks and Pismo Police.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir.
Could I ask a question? My neighbor, they work in an environmental club and wanted to help with cleanup. I mean, is cleanup something that citizens could help with, or it's kind of got to be a professional?
It's pretty touchy because it falls under the state resources. So right now the initial cleanup is going to be basically getting the debris out of there, but they can't do a massive cleanup such as cutting back foliage or anything like that without a resource plan approved by the state.
Okay.
So, but I would suggest if your individual is interested, they can contact me, and I will put them in contact with the people at the state parks so that we can share their interest.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Please keep us advised. I know when the folks from our community came in, we had said we would be moving over there and taking action, so I want to just make sure we're still on par if we need to be reaching out to folks in the community.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So I've also had several I'm trying to decide, is a few a three? Is a few three a couple two?
I'd say so.
Something like that.
I've received calls and met with a few individuals who are supporters of medical marijuana. They have followed up on when I think we had our meeting December 21st, and they want to share best practices and information, and I told them to make that information available to the city manager. So there is a lot of interest out there, and just wanted to let you know that people are contacting me, and I'm sure you all may be getting some communication, so just to be aware.
Mr. Mayor, if I...
Yes.
I've actually gotten calls, as well as I've held meetings with some of the individuals who are interested. And just last week, I attended a training symposium that the California Police Chiefs was hosting down in Ontario, and that involved the states of Colorado, Washington, and Oregon, and all the effects that they have experienced through their recreational marijuana and initiatives that have gone on, and their new laws. And so I got some really good information that we'll be sharing amongst the staff, and will give us some pretty good direction on what to be aware of and what to look for.
Great. You got to go to the beautiful city of Ontario.
It was interesting.
Nice.
Yes.
Very good. All right. So, breakfast with the mayor. I think I hope it went fairly well. I hope people found it informative. I have gotten, and that was on Friday. Man, how the time flies. March 18th. I've gotten numerous calls from people and others who said, we did not realize how much positive, how many positive things are going on in Grover Beach. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a testament to not just the council having vision and staying committed to the vision. It's also the execution that comes from staff. And so just to say thanks to everyone. And I know that it's always a challenge. But, you know, there is a vision. We just need to stay true to it and find ways to do these things and responsible ways. And I think we are certainly seeing things come together, whether it's with the lodge, the train station expansion. I think it's exciting to see that we've got these business owners that are down, what they call themselves the Beach Block. They're all in their mid-40s, and I think folks are starting to really see the vision. So make sure to thank Judith for inviting me, and I appreciate seeing all the staff there. So nice work, everyone. So I'll end with two things, right? Just to remind everyone, April 12th, we have the street design workshop when we will... Am I taking your report? I tell you what. I'm going to send it over to the city manager. City manager, do you have anything?
I only have two items to remind people of, and that is on April 12th, on Tuesday, here at the City Hall, we will have a meeting at 6 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, to look at the street... widths for Long Branch and Newport. We're going to be sending out postcards to the residents as well as some door hangers. And Mayor Pro Tem Lee had promised that he would help us with getting out and hanging those, so we'll take you up on that. The second item is on April 26th, we will be having a community meeting at Ramona Garden Park Center at 5:30 start time. And cooperation and partnership, I guess, with the chamber. They'll give an update on what they've done, and then we'll have an open meeting for the transient homeless issues within our community, and we can also update them on some of the items that have gone on in the 4th Street area as well. And that's at 5:30 again on April 26th.
Great, thank you.
And that's all I have.
Is April 12th here or Ramona?
It is going to be here. And that's for logistics for film, camera and everything like that. It seemed to work better.
Okay. City Attorney, any reports or comments?
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
And can you also cover the closed session items?
Certainly. It's the intention of the council to meet in closed session on two items, the first one being city manager recruitment, the second one, existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley water litigation.
Oh, very good. So we were recessing the closed session.